much about.
So easy. So la, la, la. You gotta put it in perspective.
Teaching your Hatchimal to dance. To teach your Hatchimal how to dance, cycle through the menu until you hear dance music and her eyes turn purple. Tap her head or wait 3 seconds to enter dance mode. Now it's time to boogie.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Allie's parents, outside my window. Allie's parents, behind a tree. I wish that Allie could see that her parents are boning relentlessly, and it's Allie's parents outside my window pane.
Get a course!
I have a pen. I have an apple. Apple pen.
And now, Landon is 11, you guys. So this could be a defining moment in his life on how we handle this call.
Hey, Landon.
Hello.
What's going on, buddy?
Well, I just wanted to talk about how much I like Wiener Schnitzel.
Our feature presentation.
I wonder what little Landon's up to now.
I miss him.
I do too.
Good morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 16th of Rocktober.
Take you back to your dancing days, Allie.
Oh, yes.
Right?
I made so many tips during that song.
Sure.
Yeah.
Put them on the glass.
Sir Mix-a-Lot reference so early.
And for Bean.
Yeah.
And I delivered it as white as it could
you
be
did.
Delivered,
too.
It was a gift.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, Jensen, how are you?
Oh, hi, friends.
Hey, Allie.
Oh, hey.
Hey, Kim.
Why? How come?
Jeez.
I can't imagine what it would be like to be in your 20s, as most of the Dodgers are, and to be on that stage with that kind of pressure. You know, you're out there, you know, pitching and you're 24. You know what I mean?
Right.
And everybody's watching and it's all on you and the hopes and dreams of an entire region are on your shoulders. Or you're the catcher. And at multiple points throughout the game, you are being booed in the playoffs at a home game. How do you come back from that?
I didn't. What happened?
Well, I had another pass ball. We're talking about Yasmani Grandal. He had another pass ball. He had another, well, it was credited as a wild pitch, but you could debate that he should have been able to stop it. He struck out a couple more times, including in the bottom of the ninth with the bases loaded.
Oh.
Which is.
What was the score?
4-0.
Bases were loaded. He was at the plate.
And he didn't swing, did he?
Nope. Three balls.
And it was on the anniversary of the Kirk Gibson home run.
Yes.
So a lot of people were like, here it is, our Kirk Gibson moment.
Man.
He was the second out of the inning, and then Dozier comes up and he strikes out. So that's how the game ends, with the bases loaded. But you're absolutely right. And by the way, Fox played that Kirk Gibson home run package, I don't know, about 10 minutes before that, Jensen?
Yeah.
Sure.
So we were all primed for it. And I was thinking about Grandal, you know, I was thinking, this is his redemption. Look, everybody's going to forget all about what happened with behind the plate if he ties this game up.
He'll forget all about the fans chanting his backup's name.
Yes.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's rough.
Well,
that's
at least he handled it well.
Well, he did say it was more us and not him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
We may have to go through that interview later.
It was more who?
The Dodgers themselves, just him. Yeah.
Oh, no.
No.
The fans. The fans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The fans.
Uh-huh. And the media.
Yeah.
And
the fans,
media.
The media. Him and Kike did some great interviews last night. Mm. Really made me proud to support this team.
Wow.
Yeah, Grandal was saying how, hey, it seems to me like you guys care more about how I'm playing than I do, which, by the way, is not a great endorsement.
Yeah. No.
That's a problem.
That shouldn't be the case.
No. Shouldn't be the case at all. He should be devastated, but willing to put it behind him to go on for the other day. And Kike, you're right. He's like blaming the fans, going, oh, it was just dead in there. We had no energy. Nobody cared. You know, I mean, it was just, look, I know it's a tough loss and all, but that doesn't make it any better.
No.
Oh, agreed.
That doesn't pump you up for today.
Maybe if you're angry, don't say anything.
Also, this is the only time LA cares about baseball.
It's true.
Come on,
it's
we show
true.
Up in the fifth inning. This is the only time we come for the first.
I did notice there were a lot of empty seats early in that game last night. And I also noticed, and I want to know if you guys know anything about this, where the hell's Larry King?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that. He used to sit right behind the plate, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, for every playoff game, you always saw Larry King. He didn't die, and we didn't hear about it, did it?
Well, even if he was, he'd be mummified.
That's true. He'd still be there.
Yeah. They would have put him out there?
Bernie Lomax style.
Yep. Bean, you would have known, though, because you have that alert on your phone for any celebrity that dies. So I think he's good.
I hope so. I hope he is.
But how about Mary Hart, though, behind the plate, just screaming at Grandal like his grandmother is pissed.
Really?
And I respected it.
It was hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a game. It was a game.
A lot of opportunities. I mean, they were 0 for 10 with men on base.
Yeah.
Which is not what you want, but... No. I am deeply invested in, as I mentioned yesterday, in the Dodgers winning a World Series while Vin Scully and Tommy Lasorda are alive.
Right.
So no more what happened last night, you guys.
Yeah, they have a few weeks then for Tommy. Tommy looks very old, guys. they interviewed him for one of these things, and I was like, oh, boy. This is knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Yeah. He can't walk anymore, right, Jensen?
No, yeah. It's he's going to the big Dodger in the sky.
Oh, my God.
Well, so go get him, Grandal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what I had.
All right.
I mean,
good times.
Look, I'm not trying to bum anybody out. I mean, the Dodgers.
The Dodgers are losing. Tommy Lasorda is dying. Everything's okay.
We're not sure about Larry King.
That was quite a pep talk, Bean.
Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is, on top of all of that, let's not lose sight of the bigger picture, which is the Dodgers are a great team. There's a reason that they got to this point in the season and in the playoffs, and they're only down 2-1 in a 7-game series. Look.
All right. Here's what I'd like to say.
They can do this.
That last sentence that you just recapped. You weren't saying that at all.
No, none of it.
You were saying the catcher was bored. Yeah. You were saying they were blaming the fans. You didn't say they're a great team. They made it all the way here.
The worst TED Talk I've ever heard.
Also,
the worst. I left halfway through and demanded my money back, and I think they're free.
Well, I'll make this a more optimistic turn as we go into tonight's game.
Save me.
They will be starting Austin Barnes.
And
replacing Grandal. So we have a fresh start behind the plate.
All right. Okay.
We could turn this around. If anything, Bean has jinxed the team before. Mm-hmm. By him being negative, we have a positive possibility.
There you go.
So this has to happen every time there's a Dodgers game now? Bean has to come out and start talking about death?
Yeah, we need a mental breakdown.
Okay.
I want them to win. You guys are missing the point.
Well, you're not saying the point then.
Okay.
How do you say that? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Bung, bung.
Mama Muggs watches the Dodgers.
Yes, she does.
Now, this is not last night, but previous games, Muggs has recorded his mom.
Secretly?
Who's the Bean of Dodger fans.
Yeah.
Yelling at the TV. No, yeah, secretly. She didn't know.
But last night, the Brewers are 1-0 in the first inning.
Right.
So Mama Muggs would have been out pretty early, right? She doesn't watch if the Dodgers are behind.
I mean, that's her rule. I don't know if it changes in the playoffs.
In the playoffs. Okay, yeah. Maybe so, yeah.
We're not going to check with her because we're afraid she'll be a jinx like Bean. We can only afford one on this show.
Yeah.
Allie's nails are haunted?
Yes, they are, Kevin. Thank you.
Didn't think that was possible, but okay.
Allie does believe in all things ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Right. This has been haunting me, just this lead. I was like, what is it? Why are they haunted? Yeah. What's going on?
It was a big, big weekend, Jensen.
All right.
Yeah.
Kanye West might be a little bit crazy.
Might be is a strong term.
Sure. Ways people tried to skip paying the bill at dinner. Seems to be a big deal.
Yeah, this came up the other day. I have a friend who used to date someone, and boy, did she make a cheapskate move in a sushi dinner once.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. We were going to get into that one.
A lot of different ways you can skip out on the bill and make your friends pay.
Yeah.
Kevin just gets up and, quote-unquote, goes to the bathroom.
No, that's when I'm leaving, Bean. And that's not when I'm just trying to get out of the bill. Leave then.
And that's what I'm saying.
Oh, I see.
That's how you get out of the bill, is we never see you again. He just doesn't come back to the table.
I'll be right back, you guys.
I'll go to the bathroom.
We've got some DVDs of Ant-Man and the Wasp and a Blu-ray. Oh, these are Blu-rays. I'm sorry, not DVDs. And an Xbox.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to win the Xbox.
Please don't mess up DVDs and Blu-rays.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's my bad.
Yesterday it said DVDs. Today it says Blu-rays. I assume it's Blu-rays.
All right.
And also comedian Taylor Williamson.
Oh, we love Taylor.
Love him so much. He will be here in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
I don't go to things, but I'd love to see that Gwen Stefani residency in Las Vegas.
That would be cool.
I'd love to see that. Why don't they record that and put that on TV?
Well, they would push people away from going to Vegas.
I feel like they want people to see it in Vegas.
Yeah, I don't know much about business.
It would be better for me, though.
Right. But, okay.
Is what I'm saying. Right. Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening?
I have been really dropping the ball on Mega Millions, you guys.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
I mean, it doesn't really matter because I already have the ticket.
Oh, so you're going to
want to waste your time
See,
and effort. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Should have checked with me.
Yeah, the jackpot for Mega Millions has reached $654 million. With a cash option of $372.6 million if you just want to walk away with that. There's been no winner since July. Where have I been?
Where have you been?
Honestly, this is the second highest jackpot in game history.
You usually start mentioning it when it's about $350.
I know. That was our cutoff. We're like, oh, $200 million. Who cares?
Who needs
it's
that?
It's got to be over $300 million. I have let this go, and I apologize. But maybe it's good because I would have had more people buying tickets, and you know that ups your chances of winning, right?
Well, that's what I understand.
I bought two, so I'm good.
Okay, so you guys doubled your chances.
Doubled
chance.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
wow. Yeah. Now, Allie, are you in that same story? Or does it also mention Powerball?
Why, yes, it does, Bean. Thank you for asking. Because if you combine Mega Millions and Powerball, it's almost $1 billion in prize money. Powerball, that next drawing, by the way, is tomorrow. $345 million for that drawing.
I have to win both now.
You have to win both.
Yeah, I was just going to go for one, but now I'm going to go for both.
Yeah, so Mega Millions tonight, Powerball tomorrow. Wow.
All right.
All right.
What would it take me to buy a ticket? $1 billion?
Right. Here's the conversation I have every time. Because I drive right past of several places that sell lottery tickets. So every single time I go, you know what? You're more likely to get struck by lightning and win the lottery. And then I think, same with the winner. Boom. Pull in, buy a ticket.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
There was a guy in Southern California this weekend, Friday night, with the thunderstorms, who went out to roll up the windows in his truck. And while he was out there, he got struck by lightning.
That sucks, because that ruins his luck for the lottery.
Right.
But that's to Kevin's point, which is it's so unlikely that it's going to happen, but it just happened to somebody who lives within a few miles of you this weekend. So anything's possible.
Whoever wins it has the same odds I do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, because you won. You
bought
two tickets.
Good point. Doubled my chances.
That's right.
Jensen, you may not be aware of this, but you have never heard exasperated listeners like when we talk about lottery and doubling your chances in math and any sort of really statistics or odds.
Yeah,
we're not good.
Well, people know that and this is a fact.
Okay,
if you pick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and your bonus is 6, just go in order, you have a really good chance of winning.
Really?
Yeah.
And then if you buy 2 tickets,
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You just
okay. I see.
You buy every ticket till you're all the way done.
Okay.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's a good tip. How much have you won?
Oh, I've never won.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But don't buy that many, so I'm going to start doing it.
Okay.
Someone's got to win, right?
Mm-hmm. Someone has to get struck by lightning.
By the way, did that guy die?
No.
Oh,
he did not. He was wearing a rubber boots and a rubber coat. Some sort of coat.
Is he a flasher?
Rubber in it.
Maybe he should have died. Like that.
But, I mean, his hat was all burned off, though. I'll tell you. I mean, it was a serious lightning strike.
Yeah.
He was real lucky to be alive.
And lucky he had no clothes on underneath.
Right.
Just a trench coat, so it didn't burn anything.
Why is he wearing a rubber coat?
I don't know.
Also, he can't live near a school, so that's good.
Stop! We need to do a deep dive. I like it. Sad news, because he only really announced it earlier this month. Paul Allen had revealed that he had started treatment for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, same type of cancer that he was treated for in 2009, and he has passed away at the age of 65. Microsoft co-founder and philanthropist, he owned the Seahawks, he owned the Portland Trailblazers, by all accounts, just did great things with his money, was a really good guitar player. Do you remember those stories of him just jamming with Mick Jagger and Bono?
That's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely loved music. He wound up funding and designing the Experience Muse project in Seattle and devoted it to the history of rock music and dedicated to his musical hero, Jimi Hendrix. It has since been rechristened the Museum of Pop Culture, but that must have been big news in Seattle yesterday, Dean.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, with the Seahawks, everybody was devastated because he's one of the most popular owners in the NFL. Right. I mean, everybody loved him. And he did so much for the city of Seattle and also so much stuff. I mean, he gave away so much money. You know, he gave money for exploration to find naval ships that had gone down, you know, millions and millions of dollars. He donated to all sorts of charities in Africa. I mean, the guy just was very generous with his money and by all accounts, the nicest guy in the world. And never married, by the way, and no heirs as far as I know.
Damn it.
Final words were, why didn't we just give the ball to Marshawn?
I mean, he does have a sister who kind of worked for him, so I assume she's going to get everything. But, yeah, it was a real, real sad loss.
Yeah. When did he leave Microsoft? Like the 80s, right?
Yeah, he left. I think he left about 7 years in.
Wow.
He retired. Yeah.
Unbelievable story. Yeah. I would assume just with how much he did while he was alive and giving money away, I'm sure a lot of that is going to his favorite charities.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. All right. Well, some birthdays for you. John Mayer.
Yeah.
What?
Big birthday. 41.
And
that is the big one, Jensen.
It is. Yes.
As you know, you can start renting cars at 41. So.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Also, Bob Weir's birthday, which he plays with them,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, share a birthday.
That's kind of cool. Bob Weir from the Grateful Dead.
Sure.
I don't know why I find that weird that
either.
Two people would have the same birthday.
Well, because there's like eight people in the band and two of them have the same birthday. That's a little unusual, I think.
Thank you, Bean. What if they ever jam with Flea? It's his birthday, too. And then Tim Robbins is in the audience. Holy crap, happy birthday. All for you, gents. That's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is an all-new Kevin and Bean show at 6:07.
It is the Halloween season, so ghosts are in the news. There was a survey conducted recently by, of all people, Groupon. I don't know why. I don't know why Groupon's involved. But the results were that 60% of people surveyed believe that they have seen a ghost. Yesterday, Allie, you'll appreciate this.
Yeah.
Yesterday on the Today Show, Jenna Bush, who you know is a frequent guest on that show and fill-in on that show, was filling in for Kathy Lee. And she was telling a story about her and her sister Barbara at the White House and how they heard 1920s piano music as clear as day coming out of the fireplace in their bedroom.
That's where they kept the pianos then, is in the fireplace.
Clear as day in the middle of the night, a week later, they heard opera music coming out of the fireplace. No one was playing anything. It was in the middle of the night in the White House. And she brought it up with one of the people who has worked at the White House for a long time and said, "You're never going to believe what I heard last night." And he said, "You're never going to believe what I've heard for years." So I don't know if that means the White House is haunted, but people who have lived there certainly believe it is.
I mean, what are the odds they heard something that somebody else was just playing in another room in the White House?
Just bad insulation.
Yeah.
At 3 a.m.
Yes. Yeah.
The odds are...
What do you think it is, Bean?
I don't know what it is.
Oh, I see. It's a ghost.
I don't know. Okay. I don't pretend to know. But Jenna Bush believes with all her heart that it was a ghost. So, I mean, Allie, you're in that 60%. You've told stories before about how your suitcases have moved and whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it happened again this week. Something happened to you.
Listen, I can't explain what happened on Friday, but I will tell you this. It was bizarre, and it freaked more than one of us out.
So it wasn't just you that was freaked out? Okay.
No. So I get my nails done. It's something called powder nails, S&S nails. Look it up if you feel so inclined. But it's not a polish that you put on.
Okay.
The color is actually powder.
Okay.
A lot of people are very
confused. Seems like it'll come right off, but go ahead.
You do that because of an allergy to the other kind,
yes,
right?
Yes, I'm completely allergic to the smell of nails. Anyway, here's what happens. They finish the nails. I go up and pay. By the way, I had gotten Halloween nails, so I did four fingers on my right hand black, one finger orange.
Okay.
The other hand the same. Halloweeny, in the spirit. Dig it. She loves Halloween. I can tell by her nails. Know what I'm saying?
Yes, we do.
So I go up and pay, and they're like, oh, those look great. And I'm like, yeah, they do. And then I look down, and I see this, like, smudge appearing in one of the nails. And I'm like, well, that's weird.
Just, like, minutes after they put it on?
Minutes after it was finished. See, that lady, she saw my nails, too. It was this smudge that was coming up to the surface. And I said, what is this? And I showed the woman, and she's like, I have never seen anything like that. And she goes, wait, it's happening to more of your nails. And we look down, and more of the nails were getting this weird smudge. I've gotten my nails done a ton of times. This has never happened.
And excuse me, I just have to ask, because people listening are thinking, and it's not like they were still wet and you brushed them up against something to smudge. Okay.
And the reason for powder nails is it's not a color, so you can't chip it, you can't smudge it at any point. It's actual powder that settles into your nail. I can't explain how it works. It's goddamn magic. But I'm like, I don't know what's happening. And she said, do you have time for us to redo it? And I'm like, I don't have that kind of time. Got a baseball game to watch. I did have time. But I actually had to go to dinner that night, a whole situation. So I went back on Sunday.
Okay.
And the woman was there, and she's like, I told someone about this. They had never heard of it. And they said, we're just going to buff your nails down, and then we're going to reapply some sort of sealer, and then a clear coat on top. You'll be fine.
Okay.
They start just doing the buffing. And she goes, okay, this is weird. It's like coming up more when we buff. I'm like, ew, do you think my nails are possessed? I'm just joking around, like, ew, it's Halloween. It's a ghost. What's happening? It's getting louder. So here's the thing. On one nail, she goes, this is an outline of a ghost. And I said, no, it's not. So she buffs it more, and she goes, it's getting darker. The, like, outline of the ghost is coming up more and more. Now people are crowding around my nails. One woman looks terrified, like I somehow am this weirdo witch. And she's like, what do you want to do? Oh. And then the cable went out and the electricity went out.
I don't know what's happening.
So here's what happened. I wound up getting them taken off because I started thinking about the Brady Bunch and that voodoo episode when they wore that necklace. And now everyone that touched the necklace had voodoo. Then I was worried about the girl that was doing my nails. Like, did I pass along this weird possession to her.
Very reasonable.
Very reasonable.
You're insane.
It's completely rational.
And I started thinking about the Brady Bunch.
There were ghosts in my fingernails, is what I'm saying.
Okay, but why, look, this is like when you see something in the sky and you don't know what it is, so you assume it's aliens.
Right.
Why ghosts and not just something to do with the products being used on your nails? Like, is this more of a chemistry problem than it is a supernatural
problem?
Did
I not say I had done Halloween nails?
You did say you didn't mention that. Still could be what Bean was saying,
no,
which is some kind of chemical.
Because, look, I got my nails redone, different color. See any ghosts? No. Want to know why? Because they're no longer possessed.
Maybe it was a bad batch of powder that they used on your nails first time
around. Could have been. However, they had used it just a few clients before. No ghosts.
Wow. Bitches really do be crazy.
So you say you're not the only one who is sort of freaked out?
Oh, people there were freaked out. If you were to call the salon, they'd be like,
Let's call them later.
It was weird. Let's do it. Let's absolutely do it. People were like, this is bizarre. We've never seen anything like it. And we were kind of like laughing, but you know that nervous laughter when you know at some point
something else,
is going to happen?
Right.
Yeah.
So you're telling us that your fingernails, not your fingers,
nope,
your fingernails,
thank you,
are haunted.
Yes. They're possessed by some sort of demon. And had I kept those nails, there's no telling what could have happened, Kevin.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you believe in a lot of crazy stuff.
Jensen Karp, who you have been hearing on the Kevin and Bean Show in recent weeks, wrote a, I'm going to just say it, best-selling book.
Thanks.
A couple of years ago, Kanye West owes me $300. I have bad news for you, Jensen.
What?
You're not going to get your $300. I don't think Kanye remembers what he said last week, not to mention borrowing $300 from you 15 years ago.
Yeah. He has those eyes now where it's like they're sort of buggy and crazy.
Yeah.
And I think anyone who has those is not paying back a debt.
I think you're right about that. Now, Kanye's been in the news a lot lately. I'm not sure why, but he deleted all of his social media after that visit with the president at the White House. And then a few days later, he was in the country called Africa, as he put it, and he is working on his new album, and he decided that he was going to reactivate his Twitter and just sit down and break it down for the people. And he did about 10 minutes
Was there anyone talking to him?
No. He was just him just talking into his phone for about 10 minutes, and he had a lot of thoughts on his mind, and here's how it started.
I just want to talk about mind control. You know, when people try to influence you through social media and try to tell you what to do, or if you post something that's like positive on Instagram and it gets taken down, if it's not a part of a bigger agenda, you know, that's like mind control.
Now, this sounds like a conspiracy theorist to me, because nobody is taking down Kanye's positive posts from Instagram because it's rubbing somebody the wrong way. It's
right.
Not part of an agenda. I mean, this sounds, excuse me, a little bit delusional, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's not happening.
A lot of these sort of crazies have become focused on, like, shadow banning and all these terms on social media. Like, it's almost the new place for paranoia. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of these people think they're being taken down, or Twitter is censoring them, or people aren't seeing their posts because of their political beliefs. Like, it is a new space for crazy.
It is. And it kind of reminds me of the Saturday Night Live when he was saying afterwards that everybody was trying to get me to take off the hat, the MAGA hat.
Yeah.
And the people who work at Saturday Night Live said he wore it every day all week long, including on the show, and no one ever told him to take it off.
Hmm.
But he's convinced that there are these forces against him.
I mean, it is a major sign of mental illness.
Yeah,
it's sort of like cyber, like these group stalking, you know, about that kind of
right.
process where they're like, someone's after me, everyone's after mm-hmm. me. Like, that is a major sign of paranoia and mental illness.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he doesn't want to get help or isn't getting help.
He's not on meds.
Not on meds anymore. All right. He's talking about people trying to touch his brain here in this clip.
I feel like when people try to tell me what to do, I feel like they're touching my brain. Like, for a woman, she doesn't want nobody to... She wants to be in control of her body and choose who she wants to give it to. And no one can come up and touch it or take it or tell her what to do with it. It's up to her what she does with it. So I feel like that... with my mind.
By the way,
women
have brains too, and they could be worried about somebody touching their brain too. It's not just their bodies they have to give away. But he is going to explain a little bit more about what he means here.
Like, it's all these people trying to control us and say that we make us all monolithic thought, and they're trying to control our mind. They're trying to control my mind. And when someone tries to tell me what to do, tries to tell me what I can wear and not wear, I feel like they're touching my brain. Imagine you, like, cut your, like, skull open and somebody, like, touch your brain with their hand. How that would hurt you. That's how it hurts me when people try to tell me what to do when I'm going from my heart.
Thoughts?
Is it possible that there are people around him who love him that are telling him, hey, dude, back off a little bit. Maybe take your meds. And he sees that as people telling him what to do.
My concern is he is in Africa without family, without loved ones, probably surrounded by yes men that are like, dude, Periscope. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Who's telling him what to do?
He's in the... to me, obviously, I'm not a doctor, but I've been around enough people in the throes of mania that he's having a manic... episode.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that nobody is stepping in is devastatingly sad to me.
Like, Dr. Drew, if he were in charge of this, would get Kanye into a hospital.
Yes.
Right now, yeah. Right?
I mean, I think we'd try it. You can't.
Would try. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Look, if you don't understand what Kanye's saying, it's not on him, you guys. It's on you, because he is talking, as he says, talking clearly.
Like, I've forgotten how to talk not clear. Because I'm so programmed to talk clear, to sound so proper.
Now, I will say that one of the things he's doing for his mental health, his mental well-being, is mantras.
We will say what we feel, not what we're programmed to think. We will say what we feel. We will do what we feel. We will do what we feel. We will do
what's happening?
What we feel.
It's repeating.
He's skipping.
What we feel, we will say. You see, I did that as a mantra. I did it multiple times.
Oh,
what?
I do know he's repeating a lot of stuff that he hears on, like, Jordan Peterson crap YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just sort of repeating these red pilling, right wing, weird.
No.
Like, it's all just like formulaic books. He's just regurgitating.
you are discounting how smart Kanye West is.
You know, I just got back my IQ scores, and they were Mensa level, 133, 98 percentile. Like, straight up Sigmund Freud, Tesla vibes.
I mean, he's Tesla smart, you guys.
Tesla vibes.
He did drop a couple of bombshells on me that I was not aware of. For instance, are you aware of this?
You know, I just got back my IQ scores, and they were Mensa level.
That's not the
yes,
right
I'm aware of that. I just know that.
Heard it 30 seconds ago.
I have heard that.
I know that one.
But have you heard this?
Like, one of the things they do, like, as soon as you get money, they make you buy a house. Like, I got this house. It's never finished.
Did you know that they made you buy a house when you got money?
Wasn't aware of that.
I wasn't aware of that either. But apparently,
like the house is just never finished. It's just costing money after money after money. It's like this big plot.
Apparently, it's big house is the plot or something. They forced him to buy this house. All right, a couple more clips from Kanye. This is him on his social media from Africa.
We work from our heart and our spirit. We're not corny. We work from our heart and our spirit. We not corny. We work from our heart and our spirit. We not corny. It'd be corny people that's control, too strategized, too planned out, too much of an agenda, too much of an angle on everything. We don't have to do that.
I feel bad.
You should. It was like, this is very sad to hear.
We were kids. We were children hanging out, basically, in our late teens, early 20s. He was nothing like this. He was weird and strange, but like in an adorable way. And like he would like rap to waitresses that came and took our order and stuff. Like he was very strange and would, you know, loved performing. And I don't know. This is just a bum out.
Well, that's because you are forgetting that you were wrong about that because
social media told you that people didn't like me, but everybody loves me. Everybody loves Ye. But if you read social media, it makes you think something different.
Everybody loves Ye, you guys. What are we going to do?
I mean, I don't think any of us can do anything, but
somebody should, right?
I sure hope he gets back on his meds.
I do, too.
But even when he was on his meds, I think there was issues. I mean, I guess it's one of those dudes that needs to be taken out of the universe that revolves around him. He's so egocentric. He was egocentric before he was famous, let alone the biggest musician in the world. So I think it's just about pulling him out of this element.
And that's going back to Dr. Drew again, because obviously he has so much experience with you know, with addiction, and he has mentioned this many times, especially after the celebrity rehab. That's the hardest part for celebrities to realize, is that the world doesn't revolve around them and that they're not special and they think they can beat it on their own and they can't. They're just like everybody else.
Yeah, this is a guy who's ranting against he's ranting against social media on social media.
Right.
I'm just concerned that a man that needs to be pulled out of this environment married into the environment.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that
and
didn't
help. Didn't
help.
A huge problem. And is there no one in his life from his childhood somewhere that can step in and say, we need to get you back on track. This is not okay.
Or maybe some sort of intervention with people he likes and cares about, like Chance the Rapper, you know, people like that, or Kid Cudi, those types of people. Maybe they could get around him and talk him into something. I don't know.
Yeah, Swizz Beatz has been kind of vocal about that, and it doesn't seem like he's very successful either, and he's known him for years. I don't know. I can't tell.
I feel like if you have that level of society and success and money, you can sort of create a world around you where you don't have people like that.
Tell you
that you need help.
God, I hope I get too rich and famous and you guys can't even control me. Isn't that a goal?
Good luck with that. We were just talking about Kanye West and how he seemed to be having problems, and somebody around him that cares about him hopefully will be able to intervene. Same with Beer Mug, my friends. Same with Beer Mug.
How dare you? Wait, somebody needs to intervene on Beer Mug?
Yeah, because his home life is... Woo! He recorded Mama Mugs watching, not this game, what game was it?
It was game one game of the one. NLCS.
The Dodgers, and they ended up losing that game.
Yes.
Okay.
With a strong comeback, almost, just fell a little bit short in the ninth inning with a man on third, but they did not make it.
So Mugs is secretly recording Mama Mugs to find out exactly what's going on in that brain of hers.
Mom, what's going on?
What are you talking about?
With this game.
This.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that they were down like one run, and it was like the second inning.
Mugs, your mom claims to be, we've spoken with her on the air before, she claims to be a lifelong Dodgers fan. When the Dodgers are in the playoffs, does she enjoy it at all? Is she excited? Does she look forward to it, or is it just misery?
She's excited before the game, before the first pitch. And then once the first pitch happens, I mean,
that's such a weird form of sports enthusiasm. Is as soon as the game starts, if what would it take for her to be happy? Every batter that comes up to hit a home run?
Either that, or if the Dodgers just open up the gates and it was like 7-0, mm-hmm. and they were winning.
Well, everyone would love that.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I mean, the minute that they go down a run, she's out. She cannot watch.
All right. But she's seen enough baseball in her life to know that it's not insurmountable to be down a run.
Anyone that's a sports fan has seen their team, you're devastated, and then they come back, and it's so much sweeter, those games.
You would think that she's, you know, been going to Dodger games since they played in Brooklyn. She would know that. But no, not at all.
Did you record this after you came back from recording Cheers with Muggs?
I might have, yeah. Uh-oh. I might have been.
I mean, the good thing is this is a best-of-7 series, so...
Wait till tomorrow. Same bullshit.
I mean, who should be you? What a horrible house to grow up in.
This is why I drink, Kevin, before I start recording. That's the only way I could tolerate it.
And by the way, that game two, the one she was dreading so much, the Dodgers did
they
come
did
back.
Win. Yeah. And win.
From behind.
Guess what? She didn't see it.
She turns off the game when they get behind.
Yeah, she'll turn off the game.
I've never heard of that except for your mom. Mm-hmm.
Even in the playoffs.
Even in the
Even
playoffs,
in the NLCS,
it
like,
makes it. It's worse. It's worse in the playoffs.
Wow, really?
It's worse in the playoffs. I mean, yesterday when they were when the Brewers scored one run, it was 1-0. She's like, I can't. I just can't.
That's the worst.
It was the first inning.
Yeah, I know.
Does she know there's more innings to come in the baseball
yes!
game? Maybe she's confused about the game.
No, she knows very well how the game is played.
Okay. All right. Let's try some more.
What do you think is going to happen here, Mom?
He's going to get out. He'll strike out.
Ugh. Oh, this space. How does sports give you so much anxiety?
Strike two.
That was off the plate again. Wow, that umpire wants a free hamburger tomorrow.
Wow, see, Muggs learned that from Bean because they were giving out free hamburgers at the Brewers one. Woohoo! Now, they can't talk about baseball too long, so Muggs walks right to the phone and orders food.
Yeah, I'd like a large, medium topping pizza, please. Three-time pizza.
He's just trying to get rid of the hangover, I think.
Something. No. Stress eating? I don't know.
Now back to the game.
Don't try to steal.
Who says don't try to steal? I mean, don't you sort of want your players to get in better scoring positions?
Yeah. Absolutely. You want them to steal if they can do it, if they can get away with it, right?
Yeah, she just, it's just miss negative out of her.
Now Mama Muggs suspects something because Muggs asked her to repeat herself one too many times.
Uh-oh.
So she's like, why is this happening?
Are you recording?
No.
Where's the recorder?
I put it away. It's not even here.
You can't even fool his mom. Are you recording?
No.
I put it away, meaning I had it.
Right. I was recording.
And it's not in this, room.
It's in another room. It's not this one.
I would take my life if I had to watch any sporting event at your house.
It's rough,
any
Kevin.
Sporting
it's
event.
It's hard. It's,
well,
it's...
Muggs has told us before that he leaves his house and goes to a bar to watch the game sometimes just to enjoy it.
I would too, because at least you can have the enthusiasm of we've got great players and even though they're behind, they can still do this.
Yeah.
At least there's that thought.
She is already written off this series. Like, in her mind, there's
that's still to come.
Okay, all right.
Yes. She'll answer that in a minute.
That was their last chance.
No, they still have one more, I bet.
Yeah, but it's not going to have first and third.
But
so they have another at bat, which is three outs, right, at that point?
Yeah.
Okay. And she's saying, yes, but we don't have guys on first and third, so there's no way.
It hasn't even happened
as
yet.
As if they can't get bases loaded the next inning, even.
Already writing it off. That's what she does.
She's the best.
If they can hold them this inning, it'll still be a two-run ballgame. Yeah.
It ain't going to happen. Don't place a bet on it, because it's not going to happen.
Mom, that's why you never see any good moments, comebacks in any sports.
Well said, first of all. And second of all, your mom at some point should say, why are you slurring so much?
Get the man a pizza.
Does your mom not care about you at all?
I guess that's how I normally sound, so it's just another day with her.
Back to
me.
Back to food.
What is it?
Are you going to want to eat your Panda Express?
That's mom's.
Mom, are you going to eat it at some point?
No.
You're not?
So, wait, Muggs, are you trying to eat their Panda Express because you're so hungry waiting for your pizza to arrive?
Or
did your pizza already come and you're still hungry?
No, the pizza was still on its way. I wanted an appetizer.
So that was the meal before the meal.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you got to do it that way sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Justin Turner made an error, I think, at third base.
He went out of his glove.
No, he wanted to throw it before he had it.
It hit his glove.
Yeah. No bobbling. Yeah, he bottled it. He flubbed it.
Yeah.
Now that's four errors.
I think your dad is really clarifying it for us. He bobbled it. It hit his glove and he tried to throw it too soon. That's an error. He bobbled it.
That's Papa Muggs right there.
Yeah.
Piece of paper.
Call from Convoy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's just a phone call.
How unhappy are your parents? The phone is just... All that's happening is the phone rang.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Now I got to deal with this.
You live with the bunkers. This is crazy.
Good reference.
No, Dad. The Dodgers haven't won the World Series in 30 years.
And they're not going to win this championship series.
There you go, Bean.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, it's inconceivable. There's no pathway for the Dodgers to come back from.
They don't have good pitching.
From losing the first game, there's no way they can come back from it.
This was after game one.
Game one!
Yeah, Kike Hernandez said that there was not enough energy in the stadium. I think we should bring Mama Muggs to the stadium today.
No. Absolutely not. And finally... 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
A couple of musical notes for this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow... Mumford & Sons is going to be here performing live.
All right.
Got that new album coming out called Delta. What I've heard from it so far sounds awesome, so we'll look forward to catching up with Mumford on the program tomorrow. And then Friday in the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock, our friend Stryker is hosting Gorillaz. You can be there. We've got tickets you can win in about 20 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. All right, Allie, you're up. Tuesday morning, what's happening?
Well, I've got good news. For the seventh time, Taco Bell is launching Steal a Base, Steal a Taco.
Yeah!
It's their big promotion for the World Series, which basically brings forth an avalanche of tacos, or just really one. They're offering everyone a free Doritos Locos Taco in celebration of the steal. So the first player to steal a base during the World Series triggers said avalanche of tacos. And you can get that free taco on Thursday, November 1st from 2 to 6 p.m. Write it down on your calendar. Thursday, November 1st from 2 to 6 p.m. at participating Taco Bells.
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
Great question.
Well, it just gets you super pumped to see a base being stolen.
Sure.
And then once it does, Twitter lights up.
Like, I don't think it was a real
free
question.
Free taco.
I don't think that was a real
question. I thought that man...
No, he didn't need...
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Ariana Grande has posted on her social media for the first time since news broke that she and fiancé Pete Davidson have ended their engagement and gone their separate ways.
Are they back together?
Nope. She posted a script page from an upcoming special, A Very Wicked Halloween, celebrating 15 years on Broadway. She is set to perform on the special, which tapes today. So she's been canceling a lot of appearances and whatnot. So this is a good sign that she's going to be doing this one. So the special will air on October 29th on NBC. And by the way, sources close to the singer say she returned the $100,000 ring that Pete Davidson gave her. But the teacup pig, Piggy Smalls, the one they adopted together, will be staying with her. Okay. I feel like that's good news.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I was rooting for that as well.
Absolutely. Haven't heard from Disturbed in a while, right?
True.
Right.
They are releasing their seventh studio album, Evolution, on Friday, October 19th. That is this Friday. And lead singer, David Draiman. Is it Draiman? Sure.
I think so.
Sure.
He has opened up on a personal milestone in an interview with a German news outlet. He has made the executive decision to remove the double piercing that adorns his chin. Here is his quote that made me laugh really hard. They're kind of a pain in the butt, to be honest. I just felt kind of weird walking around like a 45-year-old Hot Topic kid. I just felt it was time. David, I kind of agree with you on that one.
I love that level of awareness.
Yes.
Like, I'm telling you, it still drives me crazy when I see, I don't know, Morgan Freeman wearing an earring. You know, at some point, I feel like you're too old to do stuff like that.
He can pull it off, though, Morgan.
No, he can't. He looks ridiculous. He looks ridiculous with the earring. The late Ed Bradley.
I was going to say, who was it? The newsman. It was Ed Bradley.
Ed Bradley had an earring as well. And I'm like, stop it, Ed. You're 70.
Well, earrings are a little different than something that looks like it, like talons or hooks hanging out below
yeah,
your mouth.
Sure.
But
yeah.
Still, I just think that's so funny. Walking around like a 45-year-old Hot Topic kid. I appreciate that, David. And I respect it. Hey, Tara Reid. That's not a fun way to fly.
What happened?
She flew into a rage on a flight shortly before takeoff, and then she got tossed, along with her little dog. So she was on a Delta flight yesterday from LAX to New York City, and witnesses say she was really mad, really loud, complaining about being given the wrong seat. She was later bitching about not getting a pillow. Flight attendants tried to defuse the situation, and the pilot was like, I'm going to turn this plane around. And he did.
How bad do they have to be to get him kicked off?
I don't know, but there's video, and you can see her being told that she had to go. The cops were not called. She complied, deplaned the plane with her dog. But her side of the story, she thought she had a window seat. She was mad that wasn't the case. And then she felt cramped because the woman in front of her had reclined. I feel like we need to talk about this whole reclining thing again. Because people have been reclining in their seats for decades.
Right.
And just lately, it's become a problem.
Well,
are the planes just getting smaller and smaller?
Yes.
That's what it is?
That's exactly what it is.
See, as someone that is a whopping 5'3", totally lying, I'm 5'2". It doesn't bother me because obviously it won't. My knees aren't going to hit anything, but I now never recline, and I want to.
I am a believer in never reclining, period, for any passenger on any plane ever. Yes, I don't do it, and I appreciate other people who don't do it as well. And by the way, I am one of those people, obviously I'm a little taller than you are, who if the person in front of me reclines, my knees are jammed up against their seat.
Well, who told you to be so tall?
Right.
Not my fault.
Are you freakishly tall?
I mean, it is really more my problem than yours,
right.
That's for sure. But it's exactly what it is, Allie. They've taken several inches away of space that used to be between the seats. So now when somebody reclines, it makes a difference.
Right. But I'm not outraged at them because the airline gave them the opportunity to put their seat back.
But they have the option.
Right.
They have the option to choose courtesy and not recline if somebody's behind them, though.
Sure.
They do have the option. Yeah, they can do it if they want to, but they'd be a dick. Okay. I'm Team Tara on this one.
I want to sit.
Good luck with that. No kidding.
I don't even care where he's going.
Bean's a party and a person.
Buying a ticket, and I'm reclining the hell out of that seat. Some birthdays for you: John Mayer, Tim Robbins, Flea, and Bob Weir. And that's what's happening.
All right, we have a Blu-ray copy of Ant-Man and the Wasp. Plus, you qualify to win Ant-Man and the Wasp custom Xbox One X console. We're going to play a game next. The number is 1-800-520-1067. You call now. We'll play next.
Are you one of those people who goes out to dinner and figures out a way to not have to pay your fair share of the restaurant bill? We'll be talking about you and your kind coming up later this hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. And our friend comedian Taylor Williamson next hour as well.
All right. Let's give away some. We have some Blu-rays of Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is out today. And we also have a custom Xbox One X console that we're going to give away to one of the five winners.
That's so smooth.
Five games, and then we do a grand prize drawing for the Xbox One.
That was when you do the Xbox stuff, I like it.
Because I screwed up?
No, it's just like I could see your like Xbox whatever this is. this one actually looks kind of cool, though.
It's a custom Xbox One X.
Yeah, the photo, we saw a photo, I was like, that's kind of sweet.
Right.
What makes it different, like the One X, Kevin?
It's stronger.
Yep.
And I got it. You got it. It also has like a cool skin on it, which we saw in the other room.
The game is called Famous Ants.
Ant-Man and the Wasp on Blu-ray. We'll make your day.
Make your day.
So come on now and name the famous ants. I know you can. Don't say you can't. Famous ants.
Famous ants.
Famous ants. Ants in
your pants and name the famous ants.
Famous ants.
Look, they can't all be hits.
Have we ever put a camera in his little office just seeing him scream these things into a microphone?
That is funny.
All right. Yeah. Jed said you're going to be asking the callers a question that will require them to know a famous ant, I guess, right?
Yeah, or something this ant is from. It's just all involving ants, guys.
Okay. All right, let's give it a try. And if you get it right, you win the Blu-ray and are qualified to win the Xbox.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk to Omar in La Puente. Hi there.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Omar. This ant, originally played by actress Janet Hubert and then unceremoniously replaced by Daphne Reed, helped Will Smith transition from the mean streets of Philadelphia to the cozy comfort of Bel Air. Name that ant.
Ant.
Yes.
He's halfway there.
So far correct.
Uh-huh.
Ant.
Angina?
No.
Damn.
Famous ants!
Famous ants!
Well played, Allie.
Mm. Well, moving on.
Let's go to Travis and Irvine. Hi there.
You should say what the name is, though.
Oh, I don't know until him. No, I will. It's Aunt Viv.
Aunt Viv. That's what we were looking for.
You should know that.
All right, Travis, hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Travis. This ant has been portrayed by Rosemary Harris, Sally Field, Marissa Tomei, and soon the voice of Lily Tomlin. She takes care of Peter Parker, the alter ego of your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, and she's very kind. Name this ant.
Aunt May.
Hey!
Famous ants!
Famous ants!
All right. That's one. Let's go to Tony in Ontario. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, guys.
Here we go. Ant talk.
And girl.
Aunt Becky.
And girl.
Aunt Becky, portrayed by actress Lori Loughlin, was the wife of Uncle Jesse, the co-host of Wake Up San Francisco, and helped raise characters played by those pesky Olsen twins. What show was this aunt found on?
That would be Full House.
Yes!
Famous ants!
Famous ants!
Well done.
All right.
All right. All the guys and the girl, thank you for calling.
Max in La Habra, hi.
Hey, what's up?
All right, Max. The animated twins that are heard here are the most well-known ants in Springfield.
When are you going to wake up and smell your husband, Marge? Granted, you got some kids out of him. But when the seeds have been planted, you throw away the envelope.
Who are those famous ants?
I don't know. I can't think of it.
Oh, come on. Get off my phone.
That was Patty and Selma.
Patty and Selma. Mm. All right.
Why do you hate Ant-Man, dude? Seriously.
Let's go to Rahab in Huntington Beach. Hi.
Hey.
Hello, Rahab. This pretzel chain with more than 1,500 locations can be found in shopping malls, Walmart stores, airports, and amusement parks.
What?
Ani's pretzels.
She got it.
Nicely done.
Famous ants!
Famous ants!
All right.
Let me say how much I like the cinnamon pretzels they have there.
No. Well, a little rude kind of interrupting, but yeah. I guess she gets the prize.
She's a winner.
Let's go to Kung in Huntington Beach.
Good morning, guys.
Hello, Kung.
Hey, Kung, do you know Rahab?
No.
Because they have wacky names, Bean?
I just figured they might all hang out together.
All right.
They must have missed the last meeting. Here we go. Yeah. This British musician gained popularity alongside the ants and was the frontman for hits like Goody Two Shoes, Ant Music, and Stand and Deliver. Name this ant.
Oh, man.
You know this.
I don't know. And
you know this. Coon?
Goody Two Shoes. Oh, that's Adamant.
Yay! Yay!
Good pull.
I'm thinking of a woman. Yes, Adamant.
Adamant, there you go.
By the way, Kevin said Kung, just for folks who are just barely listening.
K-O-O-N-G, yes. Right. Thank you for clarifying, Bean.
I believe that is four winners already, right? So we only have one more, then we do the grand prize drawing, and Kevin explains how the Xbox works.
Let's go to Gary in Bell Gardens. Good morning. Hello, Gary. Going once, going twice.
Not a good start, Gary.
Ironically, it says he's a cable installer.
Let's go to Miguel in North Hollywood. Good morning, Miguel.
Good morning.
Hey, Miguel. What former slave... that's a weird way to start. When former slave Nancy Green was hired in 1890 as the spokesperson for a syrup company, her signature look of a bandana and apron became a worldwide symbol of sweet. Name that aunt.
Is that Aunt Jemima?
Nicely done.
Famous aunts!
Famous aunts!
I am very impressed with our listeners, by the way.
Me too. I would have gotten two of those.
Congratulations to Rahab and Kung and Miguel. And is it Tony and Travis? They are all in the drawing. Somebody is going to win the Xbox One X.
Please be Coom.
Let's find out who it is, Miss Emily K.
The winner is Tony.
Tony. Why do you hate Tony? Congratulations, Tony.
All right, for the girl.
Famous Ants. Famous Ants.
Look, if my performance is poor today, it's not me. It's because there's not enough energy in the room, you guys.
I see. Oh,
okay. I'm not hearing the enthusiasm from the beginning of the show. The crowd's
going to bring in our backup
down.
Catcher if you're not careful.
I'm just saying, you guys are a little flat. I'm over here doing the best I can, but I can't do it all by myself, all right? We'll talk some more Dodgers coming up later on today. Don't forget game 4 of the NLCS against the Brewers this afternoon. All right, Jensen, you had an incident recently we need to discuss.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for family dining. You know what I mean? Like family style.
Mm-hmm. So you order like 3 or 4 things for the table and everybody shares.
Yes.
Okay. I love that. I
love
think
that
that's
too.
Great.
Yeah, it's great. Here's the problem. You got to kind of commit. You got to sign this contract when you're doing it that everyone's going to split the money.
Right.
No matter what they eat.
Yeah.
You just split it, whatever your
even
part
if someone
is.
Says, I'll take the lobster. And the other guy says, I'll take the rice.
Mm-hmm.
You got to split it.
I mean, yeah, or total chaos,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's, in my opinion. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anarchy.
Now, is the one exception to this rule, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to hijack your story, but
please.
Is the one exception to this rule if there's one person or a couple of people who are drinking a lot?
That is part of the
contract.
That's
a great question.
Okay. Part of the contract.
It
so,
is.
No, I'm saying, like, you're allowed to pull out on that one. You can,
oh,
you
I
can
see.
Say,
okay.
I'm not drinking.
So if you agree to the food, just split
food.
It.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Drinks aren't family style. I'm not pulling from your Bloody Mary, you weirdo. So basically, you get that situation. In sushi, this happens a lot.
Okay.
If you're a sushi fan, you know, you kind of, everyone's got to take it. Just share.
Get something from the table. Everybody tries it.
Yeah. So I went out with a bunch of people. Someone ordered a fancy specialty roll, a caterpillar roll, if you need to know the detail. And those are like $13. That's an expensive roll.
Right.
And so goes into the mix. When the bill came, she looked down and said, well, I only ate 3 of these,
nope.
So I'm only going to pay $4.
What?
On this caterpillar roll order.
No.
What?
Yeah.
So you
not
ordered
only,
it family style, and
yes.
Then she said, I'm only going to pay for the exact amount that I ate.
Yes. But,
and I wouldn't be able to check her math.
No. And not, who knows?
Right?
Three pieces equals this?
I don't know. I got to get an abacus or something to start working out. But
murder.
No, I don't think it's quite at that point.
But I will say that even in a case where if she would have said, I only ordered the caterpillar roll and put in like $15 or something, that I even would have allowed in the contract.
Sure.
But I think
you bend a little.
Yeah. It's so out of contract to not only not split the entire order family style, but to also not pay for your entree. The
right.
One you ordered as the lead.
Right.
You are now just picking apart how many you ate and then saying other people ate from your order.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the reaction then? I mean, I guess it depends on how close the people at the table are. But
yeah.
What do people say to that person who's trying to cheap out?
It was utter disgust. Mostly silent.
Did anyone say anything?
No, it was mostly silent. But then we were like, you gotta pay for your whole entree. And then she's like, okay. And then paid just for her entree while we paid for all the entrees.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was not, and also my friend's not dating her anymore. Like, that was the sign that
that
we
was
had.
The breakup point?
Yeah, oh, breaker. Absolutely.
How long into the relationship were they?
Like 8 months. And we were like, nope.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Not
that's
for
it.
Me. Not for me.
We had a producer early in our career named Frank, and he was the cheapest man alive. Mm-hmm. And he would walk around with, what, being $1 to $3.
Oh, yeah. I never saw him carrying more than $3 in cash.
And it would be a point of pride for him to have that $3 at the end of the week. So he didn't spend any of it. Like, that's his goal.
Wow.
So we'd go out to eat, and it was always the same. Bean and I would reach for our credit cards or whatever, and he would just sit there. And then the bill would come, and then Bean and I most of the time would just give our credit card and just go, he's not going to. And then at some point, Bean said, you know what? Let's just sit there and wait for Frank and
wait
see what
out.
He does.
Yes.
Frank pulls out the wallet slowly. Another 2 minutes of talking.
Great.
Bill's still there. Wallet not open. Frank looks down, sort of opens the wallet, but doesn't look at the cash yet.
And remember, George Washington got blinded by the sunlight when Frank opened his wallet.
So then we waited. And I just remember this one time we specifically waited just to see how long it would take him to throw in his credit card or to do whatever he's going
to
do.
Yeah, to at least offer, because he had had 100 free lunches in a row.
So then he opens it up and he sees $1 to $3, which is all he ever had. And he just says, oh, you know what? I don't have the money. And he always, we knew what he made. He had plenty of money to pay a bill at a stupid, we eat at crap places. I mean, it's not expensive. It's probably $8-$9 or something like that. He just would always do, it was always his move. Slowly to the pocket, hold on, slowly to the wallet, open it slowly, look at the dollar, can't help.
Did he live off the grid? Why did he not have a credit card?
Don't know.
And by the way, we are going to be taking your calls on this. If you have situations, stories where somebody has cheaped out on the bill, figured out a way to not pay their fair share, we want to hear about it. 1-800-520-1067. The other move that Frank had is that we would go out to eat and he would be like, I'm not going to get anything.
Oh, that's right.
I don't have any money.
Oh, yeah. He's a martyr. I can't pay for anything.
It wasn't that he couldn't afford it. Again, that's important, okay? It's like he didn't want to pay for it. So he was like, I'm just going to have water, you guys, but you go ahead and eat whatever you want. Because, and then what option do we have? But, all right, Frank, we'll get you something.
We'll pay for it.
You have to.
You have to.
Because he's our friend and our producer.
He was our producer for like 4 or 5 years. He did that every single meal we ate.
Think of all the money he saved up working on the show.
Well, he's the richest guy in Tennessee now, I'll tell you that. It certainly paid off for him. So those are a couple of strategies of trying to get out of paying the bill. We want to hear from you as well. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock. Look at those phones, you guys.
A lot of cheap people out there, huh?
A lot of cheap people out there. From the 626, I have that one friend that's never hungry until you pay. Me, let's go get some food. Him, I'm not hungry. Me, it's on me. Him, okay, let's go. And gets the most expensive thing he can. That's one way, I guess, to get out of paying the bill.
I mean, at least that person is sort of saying up front, I don't want to pay for it.
Right.
Before you get to the restaurant and the bill comes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little better, I guess. Let's go to Juan, Newport, line 1, 1-800-520-1067. We're finding out how your friends are cheap when the bill comes at the end of a meal. Juan.
Hey, Juan.
Hey, what's up, guys? Bong, bong.
Bong, bong.
Tell us who it is and what's their move to get out of paying.
So I was with six of my friends, and they invited me for my birthday afternoon barbecue. And as you know, it had $15 or something. So we're all eating, having a good time, whatever. They had a few beers, I don't drink. So we're just chilling. And at the end, the bill comes.
Dude, I don't know what's happening. I don't. Yeah, this phone is not working. I'm sorry, Juan. We're losing you, dude. But thank you. Was this story heading toward a birthday? Is that what it was?
Yeah, his siblings, his brothers, took him out for his birthday, and he ended up having to pay for it.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's not how that's supposed to work.
Dean, you remember when we got taken to lunch before we started at K-Rock?
Mm-hmm.
The boss that took us out at that time,
yes,
in the lunch before we were hired, didn't have money to pay for it.
That is correct.
That's
correct.
That wasn't your sign?
Totally forgot about it.
We paid for our pre-interview lunch.
Totally forgot about it.
That is exactly what happened. All right, let's go to Bergthor, which is a real name, on line 6. He has stopped going out with people to eat. Has stopped. Bergthor, is that right? Because of this? Because of the controversy over who pays?
That's true, party people.
What? Tell us about it. How'd you get to that point?
Well, basically, it's kind of one of those things where kids are best friends, and they're not exactly, they're not bad people, but they're not the people you normally would have hung out with except for your kids being friends.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And every time we go out to eat, it's almost like they don't add in their drinks. They barely put down enough to cover their entrees. He just drinks down the beers. The kids order, of course, like a hot chocolate and OJ and take one sip.
Right.
And then, you know, it comes and you're paying for all their drinks and all the tips. And then it gets to the point where you have to be the blunt, mean guy and be like, we need separate checks. And then it just gets to the point where you're like, you know, every time it comes up, I'm like, no, we're not going to go out to eat with them.
Not worth it.
Yeah. I don't blame you, dude.
Nope.
I don't blame you. I don't remember the last time I was involved in a separate check situation. Are those uncommon for you guys as well?
No, they're common.
I do them all the time.
Yeah. Really?
I prefer it.
Because I really just do a, you know, who paid last time kind of thing. Okay, now it's my turn. That's really how I go.
I also go credit card roulette. You guys do that?
No.
How's that work?
Put your credit cards in a bag or something. You reach in and pull one out. That person pays.
Money bags. Scrooge McDuck over there.
No, you don't have to pay like 3 out of 4 times. I mean, it works out.
Okay. But you have to bring a bag.
That's not the important part
okay,
of it.
Okay, got it.
All right. Give me some Line 2 Long Beach Stephanie. This one's going to blow you guys away. Stephanie, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey guys, good morning.
Good morning.
So I've been dating for a hot second, about a year or so, and the dating world's very different from the way it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those people where when I go out and I meet somebody new, I typically always offer 50% to pay for the bills. That way it just avoids any sort of awkwardness. But I've been coming across more than a handful of guys that are justifying not paying for anything because they've paid for dates in the past.
What?
Like they have built up credit?
Are they keeping score?
I guess, but they're saying that because they put so much money down for all these dates and whatnot that they shouldn't have to pay for it no longer, and they're refusing it.
Hmm.
Yikes.
Yeah,
is that a deal breaker for you, Stephanie?
Usually I try to look past it because I like looking at the person on the inside.
That's the wrong answer.
Yeah, no.
That's who that person is.
Stephanie, when you're looking on the inside, look inside the wallet also.
I know I'm trying, but when they start sweating and they get worked up, like it's like, okay, you know what, that's a no for me.
We're still talking about dinner now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Stephanie, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right, we got some real good ones here, you guys. Let's go to Jessica, line 7. She's in Upland. Here's a way to eat and not have to pay.
Hey, Jessica.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Tell us about your friend's move to not pay.
Well, anytime we go out, he was just notorious for not paying. He would always come up with an excuse like, well, I'm just going to just like hang out with you guys. So we all like, it'd be like a group of us, 5 or 6 of us. And it'd come around to like at the end of the dinner where everybody's just getting full and everybody's getting ready to pack their leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy would just be, oh, are you guys going to finish that? Are you going to finish that? And basically make his own meal out of everyone's leftovers.
Oh.
So he would sit there and watch you all eat until you were finished and then ask for leftovers.
Yes.
And is beer mug your friend?
No, he just wasn't beer mug.
This person would basically have a meal of scraps.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
I mean,
yeah, he's no dummy.
But in your friend's defense, I mean, it wasn't costing anything for that person's food, right? You already
That's
ordered.
True. That's true.
No defense.
Okay, no defense. My bad.
No defense.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Let's do one more, guys. Let's make it Aaron, Pasadena, line 6. A lot of ladies, by the way, encountering this, it sounds like. Aaron, welcome to the show. You get the final word.
Good morning.
Morning.
So we were at Chinese food. We go to the counter. It's one of those places where you pay the hostess, and we get up there to pay the check. And I look over, and the guy's picking his teeth with a toothpick and not engaging at all. Just standing there.
Wait. Well, if you pretend there's no bill, is there really a bill?
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Rose Rosales from Los Angeles won her tickets to the Gorillaz in the HD Radio Sound Space at K-Rock this Friday, hosted by our good friend Ted Stryker, plus tickets to Demon Days. You can be next. We've got tickets for you coming up in less than 20 minutes from right now here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, comedian Taylor Williamson joins us as well. Hey, Allie, what's happening?
Well, what's happening is yesterday I took a look at Twitter and saw that Piers Morgan was trending. And I thought, oh, what is he trolling people with today? And, yep, it's typical Piers Morgan where he says something. Everybody gets flabbergasted. Oh, this guy's such an idiot. How can he? And he just sits there and giggles because he's a lonely, sad little man who only has this in his life.
Is he trolling because he finds it funny, or is he trolling because he's a dick?
Probably a little bit of both, but I think the majority of it is he likes to rile people up. That's what he does. Well, yesterday it was all about a picture that he tweeted, a photo of Daniel Craig carrying his daughter Ella in a front carrier,
mm-hmm.
or a papoose, if you will. And he tweeted, oh, 007, not you as well. #papoose, #emasculated bond. So essentially saying carrying your baby in a front carrier or papoose means that you're less of a man.
Yeah.
Which, of course, people started freaking out about, including my sweet spirit, Chris Evans. Why get involved? Why? You're Captain America. God damn it. So he wrote, "You really have to be so uncertain of your own masculinity to concern yourself with how another man carries his child. Any man who wastes time quantifying masculinity is terrified on the inside." All true.
Right.
You're an unbelievably stupid man, aren't you?
To which Pierce Morgan fires back, "Captain America wouldn't wear a papoose." I'm like, now you're just getting, come on. So then everybody started posting pictures, men, of them holding their babies in a front carrier saying,
"What a ridiculous argument."
The whole thing was just insanity. But his point, which he tried to clarify later, was people saying, imagine believing carrying your baby in public is emasculating. And his point, he says, he's not carrying it. That's my point. He's using an emasculating papoose. James Bond would never use a papoose to carry his babies. Carrying a baby is harder work, but worth it for the unashamedly masculine joy of not wearing a papoose. So if a company does not come out with a papoose called emasculating papoose, you have done something wrong. Why?
This is so much about nothing.
Why do people get so worked up about things that he says?
Well, because he's an idiot and he's clearly wrong. That's why people get worked up about it. Because he's adding to that toxic masculinity we talk about and needs to be taken down a peg and needs to have somebody explain to him that Daniel Craig was being a great father by taking his baby out like
but
that.
But he was even saying James Bond. He wasn't even saying Daniel Craig. He was saying James Bond sometimes. Like, come on now.
He doesn't truly believe that wearing a papoose makes you less of a man. He knew it would fire people up.
Yeah,
and he's
maybe.
Like, yep, nailed it. Woohoo, I'm Pierce Morgan.
That's my job for the day.
Oh, I can't.
You are a dangerous man espousing dangerous nonsense.
Oh, thank you. You might want to turn your radio down for a second if you haven't read or seen this article with Peter Dinklage hinting at the fate of his character.
Oh.
Yes, we all know.
Game of Thrones?
Yes, Game of Thrones. It's Tyrion Lannister. Here's the thing. It doesn't look good. Here's his quote, which makes me laugh so hard. I feel very, very... I'm trying to find the right word. I think he was given a very good conclusion. No matter what that is, death can be a great way out. What, Peter?
Death can be a great way out.
A very good conclusion. Death can be a great way out. I think if I read between the lines, you die.
Let me tell you what, that's legendary, my boy.
It is legendary, my boy, right there. Interesting stuff. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter. It wound up being a moment because of all the people's responses after this Twitter user posted this message that made me really think about it. She wrote that Netflix-era kids are really missing out, not watching shows live. She said they will never know the high stakes adrenaline of running to the bathroom, fridge, bedroom in a single ad break with the beckoning call of a sibling screaming, "It's on!" to send you hurtling over furniture to get back in time. And I thought about it, and it's just, it's school. And if you watched a show, that's the first thing you wanted to talk to your friends about the next day.
Sure.
Or at work, because you were all watching it at the same time. And people started, you know, chiming in with, "You're missing it. Hurry up. I'm not peeing till the commercial." All the different things you would say to each other. And then, oh my God, what if the power ever went out during the season finale? You were just screwed. You could never find that show again. And then people saying, oh, they would have more social gatherings about the show, whether it was talking about it at school or at work the next day, or even standalone events for, you know, watching the show at someone's home, like the big episode you all got together to watch
it. The anticipation, I think, is fun.
I feel like that's over, and maybe Netflix-era kids are missing out.
Well, I will tell you this. There are shows on Netflix that I really want to watch, but if there's something else, you can always think, it's still going to be there next week. There's no rush. And then you end up not seeing a lot of stuff because of that.
Yeah. Before it was, you know, they called it appointment television because you knew where you were going to be on that Wednesday night at 9 p.m. And that's changed. Even with DVRs, it's all changed.
This race better, though.
I knew you'd think that. Well, I knew you would think it.
How is on demand not better for the viewer?
It is better for the viewer, but in terms of, you know, socially and things that we're now missing out on, I feel like there is kind of a disconnect.
Well, you had friends, too.
Oh, dear.
That's where it's going to be, huh? That's where you're going to take it.
I was just watching those shows by myself anyway, so I might as well watch them at a more convenient time.
Oh, Dean. That's real sad.
You have parents, too, right?
I do. Both of them. Yeah, just very much alive.
They're very active as well.
Okay. Yes, they are.
All right.
You may soon have a new little brother or sister, too.
How dare you? I don't want to talk about it anymore. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk about an Alias reboot.
Reboot.
And do you close your door at night, your bedroom door? We're going to talk about maybe why you should or shouldn't.
Oh.
That's what we call a tease in the TV biz.
Your bedroom door might kill you.
Yes.
Tonight at 11.
Right? Yes. Sweeps, baby. Some birthdays for you. Flea, Bob Weir, Tim Robbins, and John Mayer. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
I'm young, active, and in the best shape of my life. But I still know life can change in an instant. And when it does, I want to be prepared. That's why I have a healthcare plan through Cover California, to cover life's unexpected moments. And having a plan that includes preventive care just makes sense. That means I don't pay extra for services like annual checkups, flu shots, and diabetes screenings. I like that.
Covered California. It's more than just healthcare. It's life care. Visit coveredca.com to enroll or find free expert help. Enroll by December 15th.
What's happening, everybody? It is Stryker, and I have three reasons for you and me to hang out Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, Hammer Toyota. Number one, free pumpkins! I'm not talking about those crappy little pumpkins. I'm talking about huge, big pumpkins that are perfect for carving. Number two, free Halloween bags. And number three, free Not Scary Farm tickets. That's right. I'm back at Hammer Toyota this Sunday, 10 a.m. Just be one of the first 106 people in line, and you are guaranteed a free pumpkin and the limited edition K-Rock Halloween bag. First come, first serve. No lineups before 8 a.m., please. And if that wasn't enough, I'll have 25 pairs of Not Scary Farm tickets to give away. If you haven't been in Not Scary Farm, what's wrong with you guys? It's the most haunting Halloween experience in SoCal with 14 haunted attractions and 1,000 horrifying creatures. And how about a new car? Go to the website, hammertoyota.com, pick out a car, pick out a truck, then print it out, and I'll see you Sunday and introduce you to my man, Johnny, the general sales manager. It's the K-Rock Pumpkin Stop, Sunday, 10 a.m., Hammer Toyota, we say yes!
When you're 40, it's usually too late to become a fighter pilot or a pro football player, but not a rookie cop.
Okay, we got some new blood this morning, and some who was born before disco died.
I'm something of a pioneer.
ABC Tonight, The Rookie is being called a must-watch.
I'm here to work, and I'm gonna lay you down.
And a surefire hit.
Police, open up!
Nathan Fillion is...
I gotta work twice as fast, three times as hard.
Because you're old as hell.
The Rookie, series premiere tonight, 10, 9 central on ABC.
Done. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 KROQ FM and HD. Pasadena, Los Angeles, Orange County. On radio.com station. The world famous K-Rock. LA and OC's alternative rock.
Sancho.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:05. Comedian Taylor Williamson coming up in studio in just a minute. But first,
the Halloween season, so ghosts are in the news. There was a survey conducted recently by, of all people, Groupon. I don't know why. I don't know why Groupon's involved. But their results were that 60% of people surveyed believe that they have seen a ghost. Yesterday, Allie, you'll appreciate this.
Yeah.
Yesterday on the Today Show, Jenna Bush, who you know is a frequent guest on that show and fill-in on that show, was filling in for Kathy Lee. And she was telling a story about her and her sister Barbara at the White House and how they heard 1920s piano music as clear as day coming out of the fireplace in their bedroom.
That's where they kept the pianos then, is in the fireplace.
Clear as day in the middle of the night. A week later, they heard opera music coming out of the fireplace. No one was playing anything. It was in the middle of the night in the White House. And she brought it up with one of the people who has worked at the White House for a long time and said, "You're never going to believe what I heard last night." And he said, "You're never going to believe what I've heard for years." So I don't know if that means the White House is haunted, but people who have lived there certainly believe it is.
I mean, what are the odds they heard something that somebody else was just playing in another room in the White House?
Just bad insulation.
Yeah.
At 3 a.m.
Yes. Yeah.
The odds are...
What do you think it is, Bean?
I don't know what it is.
Oh, I see. It's a ghost.
I don't know. Okay. I don't pretend to know. But Jenna Bush believes with all her heart that it was a ghost. So, I mean, Allie, you're in that 60%. You've told stories before about how your suitcases have moved and whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it happened again this week. Something happened to you.
Listen, I can't explain what happened on Friday, but I will tell you this. It was bizarre, and it freaked more than one of us out.
So it wasn't just you that was freaked out? Okay.
No. So I get my nails done. It's something called powder nails, S&S nails. Look it up if you feel so inclined. But it's not a polish that you put on.
Okay.
The color is actually powder.
Okay.
A lot of people are very
confused
right now.
Seems like it'll come right off, but go ahead.
You do that because of an allergy to the other kind,
yes,
right?
Yes, I'm completely allergic to the smell of nails. Anyway, here's what happens. They finish the nails. I go up and pay. By the way, I had gotten Halloween nails. So I did four fingers on my right hand black, one finger orange.
Okay.
The other hand the same. Halloween-y, in the spirit. Dig it. She loves Halloween. I can tell by her nails. Know what I'm saying?
Yes, we do.
So I go up and pay, and they're like, "Oh, those look great." And I'm like, "Yeah, they do." And then I look down, and I see this, like, smudge appearing in one of the nails. And I'm like, "Well, that's weird."
Just, like, minutes after they put it on?
Minutes after it was finished. See, that lady, she saw my nails, too. It was this smudge that was coming up to the surface. And I said, "What is this?" And I showed the woman, and she's like, "I have never seen anything like that." And she goes, "What is happening to more of your nails?" And we looked down, and more of the nails were getting this weird smudge. I've gotten my nails done a ton of times. This has never happened.
And excuse me, I just have to ask, because people listening are thinking, and it's not like they were still wet and you brushed them up against something to smudge. Okay.
And the reason for powder nails is it's not a color, so you can't chip it, you can't smudge it at any point. It's actual powder that settles into your nail. I can't explain how it works. It's goddamn magic. But I'm like, "I don't know what's happening." And she said, "Do you have time for us to redo it?" And I'm like, "I don't have that kind of time. Got a baseball game to watch." I did have time. But I actually had to go to dinner that night, a whole situation. So I went back on Sunday.
Okay.
And the woman was there, and she's like, "I told someone about this. They had never heard of it. And they said, we're just going to buff your nails down, and then we're going to reapply some sort of sealer, and then a clear coat on top. You'll be fine."
Okay.
They start just doing the buffing. And she goes, "Okay, this is weird. It's like coming up more when we buff." I'm like, "Ew, do you think my nails are possessed? I'm just joking around. Like, ew, it's Halloween. Is it ghosts? What's happening?" It's getting louder. So here's the thing. On one nail, she goes, "This is an outline of a ghost." And I said, "No, it's not." So she buffs it more and she goes, "It's getting darker. The, like, outline of the ghost is coming up more and more. Now people are crowding around my nails." One woman looks terrified, like I somehow am this weirdo witch. And she's like, "What do you want to do?" "Oh, And then the cable went out and the electricity went out.
I don't know what's happening.
So here's what happened. I wound up getting them taken off because I started thinking about the Brady Bunch and that voodoo episode when they wore that necklace and now everyone that touched the necklace had voodoo. Then I was worried about the girl that was doing my nails. Like, did I pass along this weird possession to her?
Very reasonable.
Very reasonable. You're insane. It's completely rational.
And I started thinking about the Brady Bunch.
There were ghosts in my fingernails, is what I'm saying.
Okay, but why, look, this is like when you see something in the sky and you don't know what it is, so you assume it's aliens.
Right.
Why ghosts and not just something to do with the products being used on your nails? Like, is this more of a chemistry problem than it is a supernatural
problem? Did I not say I had done Halloween nails?
You did say you didn't mention that.
It
still
you.
Could be what Bean was saying,
no,
which is some kind of chemical.
Because,
okay.
Look, I got my nails redone, different color. See any ghosts? No. Want to know why? Because they're no longer possessed.
Maybe it was a bad batch of powder that they used on your nails first time
around. Could have been. However, they had used it just a few clients before. No ghosts.
Wow. Bitches really do be crazy.
So you say you're not the only one who is sort of freaked out?
Oh, people there were freaked out. If you were to call the salon, they'd be like,
Let's call them later.
It was weird. Let's do it. Let's absolutely do it. People were like, this is bizarre. We've never seen anything like it. And we were kind of like laughing, but you know that nervous laughter when you know at some point something
else,
bad is going to happen?
Right.
Yeah.
So you're telling us that your fingernails, not your fingers,
nope,
your fingernails,
thank you,
are haunted.
Yes. They are possessed by some sort of demon. And had I kept those nails, there's no telling what could have happened, Kevin.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you believe in a lot of crazy stuff.
Just saying.
Look, I can't not say anything, so I'll say this.
All right.
If you love Incubus and you love Halloween, make sure you're a K-Rock Street Team member this week. Okay?
Okay.
Don't understand at all what you're hinting at.
I'm just saying. Get on the K-Rock.
Not even
team.
A little bit.
Go to K-Rock.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest comedian in the history of comedy is someone, but I don't know about that. Taylor Williamson is here, though. Hey, Taylor, how are you?
That's quite an introduction.
I was so flattered for 2 seconds. An instant.
Hurtful. How you been, Taylor? We miss you. We love you. We're always so happy to see you.
I was waiting for like a butt or something.
Right, of course. No, sincerely, you probably hear us say on the show, because I know you listen sometimes, that you're one of our very favorite people in the world. So it's a delight to have you back. How you been?
Thank you so much.
But
you haven't been funny recently. I think something's coming. I feel it like you do.
No, genuinely, I say that sincerely. What have you been up to? Have you been traversing this great country, making jokes?
You know what's funny is I was actually in Peoria, Illinois recently. It's a major market.
Is it?
Yeah, all the big comedians, you go to
to Peoria?
You know you're killing it when you fly into a city, then you have to like drive for 3 hours, you know?
Right.
And but there's a guy came to my show because he listens to me on Kevin and Bean show.
What? I saw that picture you posted.
Really?
That was very cool.
How cool is that? That's very cool.
That's bizarre.
Do you remember his name?
Jim.
Making it up.
Taylor.
Just making it up.
Where do you stay
when you're on the road? You stay at a Four Seasons? You make them put up first class accommodations? Flying first class? What do you do? How do you travel?
Why do you say that with a smile?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
I travel. I stay in really nice hotels.
You do, okay.
And a limousine. I usually drive across the country in a limousine because I don't want to fly.
I just don't know what life is on the road for you. It's
very lonely.
It could be, I was going to say, it could be.
You go to a lot of like, I was like, so what's open? There's two shows. You just show at like 7:30 and a show at like 9:30, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you don't eat till later, which your doctor says you have acid reflux. You should eat before 7, you know?
Okay.
And then you don't eat till like midnight. What's open? They're like, Steak and Shake, but they're not, you're on the road. Like in LA, they'd say it as a joke, you know?
Uh-huh. Right.
But like you're in Peoria, like, there's a Steak and Shake.
Do they have an actual answer?
Which, shout out to Peoria fans. I know they're all listening.
All?
Well, that one guy.
Jim.
Jim's got it. Yeah. All right. A couple things I want to ask Taylor about before we get into the reason he's here, which is his big event this Sunday at the Groundlings. Two things. One is, did you recently go on a website to have your face rated?
Oh, yeah, sure. In a way. So there's like, I'm a big deal, you know? Like, ever since I've been on the Kevin and Bean show, like, my life is just skyrocketing.
Well, I feel like America's Got Talent may have had more to do with you being a big deal than this, but go ahead.
Well, listen, like, I mean... it's the cool thing about LA, like half the time I get recognized, it's like America's Got Talent fan, and half the time it's like really scary people who come up to me like, hey, and I'm like, what? Yeah. And they're like, hey, I listen to you on Kevin Bean, you're really funny. I'm like, oh my God, thank you. You know? Your fans are
scary. Why do our fans scare you?
I don't, they're just like really like large men with tattoos and stuff, you know?
That's accurate. Okay.
But they're so kind though. Anyways, right. There's like a dating app for if you're like really cool, you know? Mm-hmm. And I registered like 2 years ago and they like rejected me.
Did they? Aww. Okay.
But then I got accepted recently and it's a bunch of like famous people and models and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like amazing. So I get to like.
What is it?
I am not supposed to, I don't know. I think you can't talk about it because they'll delete you for talking
they
about
call it.
They
call it Illuminati Tinder.
Oh, Allie knows too. Right? What's happening? Yeah.
Taylor, before we get to the face part, there are models on there?
Oh yeah.
Now would you? Now do you go for that? Do you? I mean, do you try?
No.
I
don't mean, be ridiculous.
I wish.
Who likes models?
I mean, I wish there was a dating app that just showed their personality and you could swipe on that.
Oh, God.
I mean, I know you're still hurting from breaking up with Heidi Klum, but are you willing to go back into dating another supermodel so soon?
I mean, this is why we're friends. Like, I get what you're saying, but I think you can't bring your baggage to the next relationship. Mm. You know?
Okay. All right. I just wondered if Taylor is the kind of guy, because he's obviously very smart and talented, but he plays like he's not. I wonder if he actually has the confidence to swipe on one of these models and see if he could go out with her.
Well, yeah, I have the confidence to push my fat thumb on a check mark. That's not that hard.
Yeah, but then you may have to follow through. What if she says yes, though?
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far yet. So
okay.
I haven't.
Were you nervous when you had to apply to be a part of this Fight Club dating site?
Well, honestly, what's the only nervousness is like there's someone whose job it is to decide if you're cool enough.
Right.
You know?
And, that's like, ridiculous.
I know that there's like one person who's like, hey, there's a guy who like lost on America's Got Talent. Thinks he's as cool as like Demi Lovato.
Is she on there?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
All right. So it's a velvet rope of dating. Now, how does the face rating come into it?
It's so complicated. Like you have to like upload like your faces, you know, and then you have to choose a song.
What are you talking about?
So it's like a music video of like your pictures.
You make a music video?
Not music. It's like a collage. What do you call that?
A collage. So you pick a bunch of pictures, then they put it to the song.
Yeah. So like you not only have to be more attractive.
Do they pick the song? That's
all.
No, you pick the song.
I understand you pick the song.
Oh, wow.
Huh.
So what's your song, Taylor? I assume it's something bitchin' like Eye of the Tiger, right?
You know what's funny is I really regret bringing this up.
No, come on.
Oh, I'm fascinated with it because I don't know anything about it.
Well, everyone's songs are like Drake songs and like all these like sexy songs that don't play on K-Rock.
Did you think of using this?
Boop-dee-dee-scoop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop.
I mean, that would get people's attention in your little slideshow.
Well, that's the thing is, like, do you go silly? Like, how silly do you go? Like, I know a guy who's, like, his dating apps are all silly, mm-hmm. but he's, like, really cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm really cool, but, like, people don't know that. You know?
Right.
So I have to, like, let them know.
Sure.
But, see, now that's also interesting because you're a professional comedian, so people can already see that in your profile. So maybe you want to show the other side of you and show that you can also be a regular real person, too. Maybe you don't want to go silly with the montage.
Bean, that's what I was thinking.
So what song...
Can we pick a song for you?
What song? Yes.
Make a montage.
Oh, that's a great idea.
What was the song called that you just played?
Poopity Scoop. Poopity Scoop by Kanye.
Right.
So what did uploading the picture of your face, what did it tell you about? What feedback do you get on that? Do they decide whether you're attractive enough?
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Well, yeah. So when I registered, they go, do you have any people that you want to use as referrals, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, I'm embarrassed to be like... to call like my acquaintance who's like famously, you know, and be like, could I ever talk about it? Be like, hey Hannibal, can I use your name? Haven't talked to you in like 3 years. Can I use your name as a referral? That's embarrassing.
You have to get a referral from somebody who's already on it?
Well, you don't need it, but it says, do you want to refer? And I was like, you know what, respectfully, like I'm the second most talented person in America. Like, I'm not.
I mean, that season.
2013, recently, you know? So in the scheme of the world, it's, mm-hmm. You know, the world's been around for 5,000 years, I was just told. So that's,
yes, that's accurate.
accurate. That's science. Everything coming out of your mouth is accurate.
Thank you. So I was like, I don't need a referral, you know? And then it goes, are you sure?
Oh, come on.
I swear.
Just
attacking
you. Trying to tear you down, see what you how you handle pressure.
And then I was like, you know what? Then I thought, do I just type in, Amy Schumer? just put in names, you know? And then I was like, you know what? I don't need a referral. I'm good. I'm proud of where I'm at, you know? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, we'll let you know in 48 hours. And it's like, you've been waitlisted. And then you can't. And the thing is, I deleted it. I was like, I'll try again with referrals. But they read it. You're already in.
What? Oh, so you're already in the system? So even if you delete it, you're still in the system?
Yeah, it's very.
And they said yes to you this time.
2 years later. So I emailed them. I was like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, all right.
All right, we'll let you in because of the follow-up call.
But I'm like less famous than I was 2 years ago. Don't tell them that. You know?
That just sounds like a tremendous amount of pressure. And by the way, I know we have to take a break. Our friend Taylor Williamson is here. We'll tell you about the Taylor Talk Show coming up this Sunday at the Groundlings. But why do you, a famous person who travels the country, who has lots of fans, why do you even need a dating app?
I mean, I agree. I mean, if you guys, I need a girlfriend, okay? That's the reason I'm here. Like, I have a show.
That's the reason you're here?
Yeah, I need a girlfriend, preferably a celebrity.
Okay.
But I know you have a lot of celebrities listen, like Noodles from The Offspring.
Do you want to date him?
Yeah, because he probably would go out with you.
I mean, he's married, but yeah. We could probably work something out.
Sure.
You could be a side chick.
There's 7 days in a week.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's an excellent point, Taylor.
Thank you.
Taylor's going to be at the Groundlings on Melrose West of La Brea this Sunday with something called Taylor's Talk Show. Tickets are on sale now, just $10 at groundlings.com for 16 and up. We're going to find out all about it with our guests right after this on K-Rock.
Put on your headphones. We're going to talk now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:37.
Our friend Taylor Williamson in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show on Twitter at Taylor Comedy, taylorwilliamson.com. What is Taylor's Talk Show happening this Sunday at the Groundlings?
Oh, I'm really super excited about it. Like, I'm sure people come in and they're like, I'm really excited about a thing, but they don't care, you know?
Sure.
But I'm like really excited. So I got together. I have this like show that I've wanted to make as a TV show, and I decided I'm just going to put it up live once a month and then go on a Kevin and Bean Show and make people think it's really cool, so they want to make it, you know? And so I got together with I have so many friends and like my old roommates in the Groundlings main company, Kyle Kennedy, and I've always. People are really more talented than me. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard. And so I created this show. It's like a talk show. It's a sketch show. It's improv. It's just comedy circus of ridiculousness.
So it's like a late night talk show, but live on a stage.
Right, but it's like not a talk. It's like Pee Wee's Playhouse mixed with Larry Sanders' show. It's like we wrote a whole script every time. And then we have a celebrity guest every time. Dr. Drew did it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Dr. Drew was on your show? Huh.
Yeah, I don't think he's the greatest. I don't think he understands he's a famous person. Like, other famous people, I'm like, hey, you want to do my show? They're like, you know? And he's the one guy who's like, hey, can I do your show?
He can't say no, though,
yeah.
Dr. Drew.
To any microphone ever.
Yeah, that's true.
Honestly, I walked into a Target once, and he was making announcements. I mean, the guy loves the microphone. So wait, so if there's a script, so does that mean he was playing a part, or was he just improving on the spot?
So there's some improv stuff. So like I had him come in and we did a bit where he answers questions from that people sent in, and then the questions may have been like secretly from me, you know?
Sure.
And just a lot of fun, you know? We have a very special guest this Sunday. He's a special guest, but a very special guest. Mike Catherwood's gonna do it.
Is that right?
You guys know Mike Catherwood. So I'm so grateful that Tig Notaro did it, Tony Cavallaro, who started School of Rock on Nickelodeon, and I'm just taking advantage of people who are...
Anyone that you know?
Anyone I know who's available, you know?
So that sounds super fun for you. So is it satisfying to do it live? Or is the whole goal of this is that you're trying to get somebody to see it so they can make it a TV show?
No, I mean, that's my douchey Hollywood phrase on my brain. It's so much fun. It's actually terrifying because I've been doing stand-up comedy for 15 years. You know, I do stand-up a few nights a week and
what?
Stuff.
You're a comedian?
Did you know that? And then, but this is so different. So, like, it's with stand-up comedy, I can go to the comedy store and practice my jokes. Before then, I go on the road, and people they're going to be good. They know they're going to see good jokes. Hopefully,
right?
They don't know they're not going to see good jokes, but I know. But like on this show, it's all brand new stuff. And it's like probably 70% scripted and 30% improvised, so it could be a disaster. And like, it's very scary.
It sounds frightening.
How
yeah.
fun though!
But it's fun, and it's really
it does sound fun.
It's fun collaborating with other comedy writers, something I never get to do, and writing a whole show. And
You're sort of giving up control to a lot of other people to kind of fill it in and make it something different.
Yeah, then there's like an audience participation part, and if there's someone doesn't want to, they don't want to participate, it's just a train wreck. And it's gone well so far. We're like 3 for 3 somehow. So,
are you taping these as well?
Yeah, we're filming it. I was thinking about like live streaming it, but then I was like, what am I doing with my life? You know? I was like, I just have a good show. Does everything have to have like, do I need people like... Like, I felt so good after all the shows so far. Like, I don't need to go home and have some, like, so-and-so says, this show sucks, you know? But,
I mean, they're just saying that to themselves so that you don't have to hear it, probably.
They're saying to the million... The
wow,
I'm just saying the people that are there.
Good God.
Well, sir.
Jeez. Well,
come on, I thought we were all having fun.
Well, we were until Taylor started crying.
Do you have any Kleenexes for my tears?
My donut,
seriously.
Sorry.
It is tough, though, and I'm not suggesting you're doing a parody of a talk show, but, I mean, you mentioned Larry Sanders. It's kind of, once Eric Andre has done his talk show, it's kind of tough to do anything else with a talk show, isn't it?
I agree, and I found that the way to show that this is to prove that it's different, I have to do it and let people come see it. I'm like, oh, I get it. It's completely different than all these other shows, and because everything's been done before, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. It has been in this format, yeah. All right, speaking of comedians, Taylor, and by the way, groundlings.com, 16 and up tickets, just $10 for this Sunday, 8 p.m. if you want to see Taylor's talk show in person. Sounds like a lot of fun. Speaking of comedians, I heard you mention recently, and Allie is going to squeal when I say this, that one of your life's goal is to meet Mel Brooks.
Yeah, what? That's random. Is he going to come out?
Yeah.
Mel, come on in.
I love him. How do you know that?
Well, forget how I know it. Allie, talk about how you and Taylor can team up to make this happen together, yeah. Because it's both of your wishes.
It's all I want in life is to sit with Mel Brooks and watch Jeopardy and eat soup.
And Carl?
It seems very specific.
Carl Reiner, absolutely. It would be great if he was there.
Yeah.
But Mel Brooks is my absolute hero. I have loved him since I was a little girl when my dad was showing me Mel Brooks movies at way too young of an age. And it totally, he shaped my whole sense of humor.
But Allie, this is what I don't understand about you is because I feel like you have similar feelings for Conan, yet you won't meet him. You won't
true.
Meet
yeah.
Conan. You'll fall apart, you say, if you meet Conan, yet somehow you'd be okay to meet Mel Brooks. Why?
I don't know. Because maybe I don't think of Mel Brooks in a sexual way. Like, I mean, I still would if he wanted to. Because he's a legend, right? I'd do it for the story.
Sure. Yeah.
But Conan, I feel like I'd be like, oh my God, does he think I look fat in this? Oh my God, I should have done my hair different. It's crazy, and I hear myself, and I don't want to keep talking.
Okay. Taylor, what's your strategy to meet Mel Brooks' comedy idol?
And because, would you?
And would you?
Yeah, I mean...
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, I'm not sexually attracted to Mel
but
Brooks.
But would you?
Yeah,
of course.
That,
for sure.
Make love to him?
Right?
I mean, sure.
Like tender. So tender. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's funny, like, I'm down to go yes and the joke, but then she yes and it, and I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
Like, I'll make love to him, then she's like, so tender. And I'm like, I don't know about tender.
Like, he likes it
you
rough.
You do it rough. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what Taylor would do.
Wait, wait. What? Is that the opposite of tender?
I mean, I would think.
So is there ever a situation, because he's comedy legend Mel Brooks, where you guys could be in the same place at the same time, where it's possible you might meet him?
We're not going to have a threesome with Mel Brooks.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying, do you have a plan?
I would. Again. No problem. Why so tight?
I met Jerry Lewis.
Not what we're talking about.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No, but it's very similar. Comedy legend Jerry Lewis, before he passed, you met him. You shook his hand?
Before he passed, I met him.
That's okay.
And it was actually really, this is a brag, you know, but I got to go to a meet and greet and meet him after his show where he just said some, he's a great man, you know, and then he said some things that are like, oh, that's 2015, that's a racist thing to say, but it's probably funny. years ago.
He was very politically incorrect in the last few years of his life, for sure.
But I respect, you know, like Cinderfella, you know, so, but I got to meet him and I was like, I'm a comedian, I just want to say you think you're amazing. And he's like, I know who you are. You kept me up one night. He like watched America's Got Talent.
Is that right?
Wow. And then he's like, yeah.
Was he mad at you for that? I didn't get enough sleep that night.
I couldn't sleep. He's like, he said, you're really funny. And I was like, thank you. I was like so flattered. And he's like, you have the right look for a comedian. You look sick.
Excellent. That's a funny line.
I was so happy. Then I told all my my friends who are comedians and all the girls, they're just like, he hates women. And I'm like, all right, but yeah.
But yeah.
You know? Mel Brooks, he loves women.
He loves everyone because he's a great man.
Well, he's going to love your threesome. All right, listen, Taylor Williamson's Taylor Talk Show is going to be at the Groundlings this Sunday night. Get your tickets at groundlings.com. Before you go, Taylor, it's round two of 60 Seconds with Taylor Williamson. You ready for the first answer that comes to your mind?
Yes.
Why do you look scared?
Because I forgot about this.
All right, here we go. 60 Seconds with Taylor Williamson. Candy corn, sweet tasty treat, or the taste of ass?
Those are the options?
Yep.
Sweet tasting treat.
Wrong answer, sorry. Do you have groupies waiting for you after every show?
Yes. Like, there's a guy from Peoria who listens to your show.
Have you ever walked out of a movie?
No, I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense. If I pay the
even
money,
if it's bad?
I have to watch the movie till the end, even if I don't like it.
All right. Of the three of us, me, Allie, and Bean, who do you like the least?
I mean, honestly, you, honestly. I don't like you in general in that comparison.
What superpower would you choose?
To end poverty around the world. I'm just kidding. I would be invisible.
Why did you vote for Donald Trump?
Good Lord. I mean, what? I know. I mean, now I'm like, you know what? I didn't vote for him. Oh, my God.
I've never heard Taylor so flustered.
Well, because you have to pretend you like him in Peoria, you know?
Sure.
But in LA, I don't have to
so
do that.
So you can sell tickets there? I got you.
Well, I forgot you're international now because of podcasting, so I'm scared to say I don't like him.
Well,
I don't like him.
It's going to be a travel ban now. All right, Taylor, have fun on Sunday night. Come see us anytime, my friend.
What, can I say really fast?
Yeah.
Mike Catherwood's going to be there. Also, Dave doesn't pay for food.
What?
Dave King of Mexico doesn't pay for food when you have dinner.
Is that right? We were talking about skipping out on the bill.
That wasn't worth stopping the show for, I don't think.
Not really, but King of Mexico does that?
Okay, keep going. What I like about him is he doesn't even pretend to take out his wallet.
He just waits.
He just like, he's so comfortable. I was like, I got this. And he's like, all right. Wow. I love you, Dave.
Thank you, Taylor. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
It is 8:52.
That means Allie McKay is here, and it's time for What's Happening on this Tuesday.
What's happening is Mega Millions, you guys. The drawing is tonight. There hasn't been a winner since July.
Wow.
Which means right now we're at $654 million. That's a cash option of $372.6 million, if you want to just take that cash option, which who doesn't take the cash option?
Veronica, what would be the first thing you do if you won the lottery?
I would build a karaoke studio in my house and sing love, 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 love you, baby. And then I would run naked down the street in Granada Hills, and then I would do beer mug.
Oh
God, I hope she wins.
Right? I would make her win so badly now.
I would forego winning for her to win.
I mean, I don't feel like I would go that far.
Okay, not that far. Got it. So that's tonight. That's the Mega Millions. Maybe you're busy today. You can't buy a ticket, but you can buy a ticket tomorrow. Well, the Powerball, that drawing is tomorrow, and it's up to $345 million. So not bad, you guys.
Wow. Almost $1 billion there.
Almost $1 billion combined in that grand prize money. That's a
Look,
lot of money.
You're not going to win, but somebody wins.
Right.
So, what?
You're not going to win.
You don't know that.
Somebody else will win, but they have the same odds you do.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So?
Right. And they never thought they would win either. They never thought, they'd always thought it could be somebody else. And sometimes it's them. So, that keeps us going, I guess.
Don't you like, though, when they interview someone that won and they're like, I knew I'd win at some point.
Yeah,
you're
those
like,
people
no.
annoy me.
No, you didn't.
They understand math about as well as we do.
It's true. It's
but
very
it is
true.
Interesting, and I think Jensen sort of made this point earlier today, which is if you would put down money on it coming up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, then that's what you're doing. Bear in mind, that's how unlikely it is your numbers are going to come, as they're as unlikely as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 coming.
Right, let me write that down. I didn't understand that, but I'm going to pick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I'm just saying.
What was he saying? Don't pick that.
I'm saying you in a million years, Kevin, would never put down money on the lottery
turning out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But that is just as rare a combination as whatever the winning numbers will be. Whatever numbers you have are equally difficult to hit. That's my point.
You're just saying I'm not going to win.
I'm saying somebody will.
Right, but not
me. Maybe
that's
you.
What you're saying.
I want to see you come through with your promise to still work, still keep this job, but have a terrible
attitude.
It'd
be in a terrible attitude, yeah. What are they going to do, fire me?
Right.
I feel like the odds are greater of you picking different numbers than the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
oh, yeah,
six.
Let's get into that in
right?
depth.
Well, Kevin bought two tickets,
right.
So his odds are twice as good.
Right.
Yes.
Okay,
exactly.
Got it.
Oh, people are screaming at their radios right now. I love it. So I guess it's happening. But Jennifer Garner will not be back in her role as Sydney Bristow. Of course, the popular ABC series Alias is what we're talking about. It went off the air in 2006, and there's been rumors of a reboot for quite some time. And Jennifer did an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, and she said, "I've heard that there's an Alias reboot happening, but no one's talked to me about it. I mean, it would be totally different, but if they don't have me on as a guest, I would be very, very angry." Understandable. She's got to be on in some capacity, right?
Yeah.
That was a great show, you guys.
I loved it.
I think it would hold up today, don't you?
Yeah, probably.
Well, no one could afford Bradley Cooper, that's for sure.
Oh, I forgot he was in that.
That's right.
I love that show.
Little lady named Maren Dungey,
sure.
Right? Hated coffee ice cream. Hated it. Hey, do you guys sleep with your bedroom door open?
I do.
You do?
Yes. Well,
Kevin?
I want to be able to hear the dogs if they get up and they need something.
Mm-hmm. I don't, because I don't want to hear the dogs.
Do you sleep with your door closed?
I do.
Wait,
okay.
Which one of us is going to die then?
Well, a recent survey from the UL Firefighter Safety Research Institute, I think you know where I'm going with this.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Found that nearly 60% of Americans sleep with their bedroom door open. And that could mean a life or death situation in the case of a house fire.
It's better or worse?
You should sleep with a door closed because it can slow the spread of flames, reduce toxic smoke, and improve oxygen levels and decrease temperatures.
So I'm doing it right, Bean.
But wouldn't Kevin be far less likely to know that there is a fire in another part of the house if he has his door closed? I would want that information as soon as possible.
Or is there a fire in the other part of the house and you're dead asleep and then you have smoke inhalation because it's coming right through your door?
Right.
Right?
So I win.
So he wins, and they have launched a close before you doze campaign. You got to rhyme it or people forget what to do.
True.
Was I supposed to open it before I scope it? Like, it's hard. So
wait, I click it and then I get a ticket or I don't get a ticket?
See, that's what I'm saying. Got
to
rhyme.
It does have to rhyme, yeah.
Close before you doze. It
How about you, Allie? What's your bedroom door situation?
I keep it open because my fear is I'd rather have someone sneak into my room and murder me instead of hearing the door open and murder me. I'd rather it just be like I wasn't
all
ready
in
for
one
it.
Move.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
That's a strange way to live your life.
Is it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Worrying about being murdered every night seems bad.
Well, she's not worrying about it as much as she's expecting it.
I see. Okay, that's
very
a lot
different.
Better then.
You guys, I'm totally going to be murdered. We know this.
But didn't we agree that we're going to go on TV and say she really lit up a room?
Yes. However, Josh Mankiewicz on Dateline has already said he will not include that in my script. Because I've explicitly said I do not want people to say I lit up a room. Obviously, I do. But...
Okay, I'm confused now.
We're
not supposed to, or we are?
No. Okay. You can say it. He just won't include it.
I see.
Right?
Okay.
Like, she didn't have an enemy in the world. Don't do those. Okay. Come up with something new.
What can we say about you that is, we're glad it happened? I mean, what are we supposed to say?
Send us a script.
Like, great hair. What a loss.
You want us to say great hair?
What a loss. That was a head of hair.
Okay.
Something like that.
It was a big head, but it was a head of hair.
It was a lot of hair to fit that noggin.
Right, I'm going to write that down. I don't think I'll remember that, though, but... As long as you're killed like this week, I'll remember it.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Happy to help.
I hope I'm not killed this week.
Me too. But.
Some birthdays for you. Bob Weir, John Mayer, Flea, and Tim Robbins. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Just looking at hashtag horseface right now on my social media. This is this real life, you guys? I feel like
hashtag horse face.
Hashtag horse face.
Okay.
Trending right now on all social media. You can guess why, Kevin. I just feel like the...
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
I just feel like those videos where the kids are coming out of anesthesia after going to the dentist, and they're like, is this real life? That's what it feels like in real life right now.
This sucks, too, because normally hashtag horse face brings me a lot of positivity by looking at beautiful horse faces. So this is really, really bumps
It's ruining
me.
It for yeah. me. I thought Sex and the City was coming back. When I saw that, I thought,
I'll allow it. Fantastic news
about Sarah Jessica Parker, but in fact, it's something completely different. All right, 9:39 Tuesday morning, time for our final look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
Guys, we usually do great news on Monday.
Yes.
Where there's so much anger, so much just negativity in the news. We like to bring you something positive. Get your Monday started right. Can I bring you a little great news?
Absolutely.
On a Tuesday?
Anytime.
Travis Barker has tweeted this. I'll be back at Palms in Vegas with Blink-182 this month. What songs don't you want to hear? Then a crying happy face.
That's great news.
So, yay! Blink-182 back at the Palms, October 26th and 27th. Those are the dates that they have listed on the Palms website. So that is fantastic news, you guys.
If you need a drummer on your new album, I could do that.
I think they're good. Nope, I think Travis just said he'll be back.
I myself am a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No yeah. thanks.
I think that's a hard pass.
Yeah.
Let me tell you guys something. I'm a drummer. Uh-huh. Okay. I love beats.
Uh-huh.
Right. I'm not good at producing beats, but let me tell you, I could get behind a kit and play the drums. If you guys ever need a drummer.
Okay. We got it. He's making himself available. Got it.
Thank you, Beer Mug. I think they're all set. For
imagine running that by him.
Listen, Mark.
We know Trav's having a hard time, but.
We got Beer Mug.
Got just
for
the
you.
Guy for you.
Also, Beer Mug's would be fine in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's going to cause no issues.
Yeah, be at the show right on time.
Yeah. Let him in.
Definitely sober. Good times. Well, we've been talking a lot about Kanye West and what seems to be a bit of a breakdown with him saying he's off his meds and then saying, well, no, I'm not bipolar, even though that's what I was diagnosed as. He's now saying it was just sleep deprivation. Well, Kanye's New York Times talk was scheduled for tomorrow with Charlemagne the God at New York City Hall, and it has been canceled. And Charlemagne explained the rationale behind the cancellation by saying, quote, normalizing being mentally healthy is a conversation that I really wanted to have with Kanye because he's been so vocal about his own mental health struggles. Unfortunately, I think to have that conversation with him right now would not be productive and a total distraction from the point of the convo, which is to eradicate the stigma of mental health, especially in the Black community. So,
canceled.
I will say this, for as much heat as Charlemagne the God and the Breakfast Club gets.
Canceled.
He would have gotten a lot of publicity by keeping this going.
Yeah, agreed.
I think he definitely did the right thing.
Yeah.
Canceled.
You can stop doing that, I think.
But it is. It's like it would be like doing like an acting seminar with Nick Cage right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like not the right guy.
Wow.
Not the right guy, not the right time.
No. See, Mandy, though.
Did you see it?
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
People either really love it or people are angry that people really loved it.
Yeah, it's not great.
Uh-huh.
But it's good if you love actors who are like, ah! Like, you know, like, ah! Like, it's like their
like
hair,
chewing up the scenery.
Yeah, like their hairline is acting. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
You'll love Mandy.
All right. Good times. Kevin, is it you that loved Sherlock?
Yes. Oh, so great.
Well, BBC.
Me too.
Oh, so and Bean?
Yeah. I love Sherlock.
Jensen?
No.
Okay,
so
all right.
Great. Never seen the it. The BBC version is so great
I've
with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Things. Yeah, I've heard good things.
Ooh. Well, BBC One and Netflix have announced a new project from those creators of Sherlock, Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss.
What they do?
They have ordered Dracula, a television adaptation of Bram Stoker's classic vampire novel. It's going to be a three-part, 90-minute miniseries.
That's what they do every time. Every Sherlock season is 390 minutes, and that's it. They're out.
That's it. Here's the synopsis. In Transylvania in 1897, the blood-drinking count is drawing his plans against Victorian London. And be warned, the dead travel fast.
Vampires come out at night.
They do. They have to.
Can't wait.
Yeah, that sounds real good.
Do we know when?
We do. Is this helpful?
Mm-mm.
As I scroll this?
No, don't worry about it.
It's going to premiere on BBC One in the UK and then launch elsewhere on Netflix at some point.
Okay. Probably next year.
At some point.
Mm-hmm. I would say next year.
Sounds great.
Yeah. While you're on Netflix, the Haunting of Hill House.
I've heard
that's
from
too.
Mike Flanagan. People are saying is also a very good series.
People are saying they watched it like hoping to get into a Halloween-y mood, and then it totally took these turns, and it wound up being a really like thought-provoking, awesome show.
Yeah, he's awesome. Mike Flanagan did Gerald's Game for Netflix, and he did Hush, which is really good. And he's sort of saving the lower budget horror.
Wow.
And he's great.
Yeah, I've heard amazing things about that. Our friend Matt Fowler from IGN said he cried at the end of it. He's like, was I expecting that at all? No. So that looks real good, you guys.
Now, why is that not too much TV, Jensen?
Oh, because I pick and choose very lightly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to go for.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it. Also, Dracula sounds like that's perfect.
Oh, sounds so good.
Sounds real good.
Yeah, no, but everything else, too much TV.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, Taco Bell, they're back. Well, they never went anywhere, but they're back for this big World Series promotion that they've done now.
What they do?
For 7 years, it's called Steal a Base, Steal a Taco. It is back. So, during the World Series, the first time someone steals a base, you're going to be like, yes, I get a free taco. So, circle this date on your calendar, November 1st, from 2 to 6 p.m. After all the games have been played, that's when you can redeem that taco. I mean, it's weird, right?
Yes.
Just one taco?
Well, I mean, they're going to have a stolen base. Just give me a taco.
Just give it. Yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But November 1st from 2 to 6 p.m.
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
That's a good question.
It's a great question. Thank you. Thank you so much. You guys, I don't know why I love this story so much, but Disturbed singer David Draiman has experienced a moment of clarity. And it also helps that they have a new album coming out October 19th. So Disturbed back in the headlines. But this reason is amazing. He was talking to a German outlet, and he said he had this moment of clarity and this executive decision to remove the double piercing that he has in his chin. It resembles talons or hooks hanging below your mouth.
Right.
He said, quote, "They're kind of a pain in the butt, to be honest. It just felt kind of weird walking around like a 45-year-old Hot Topic kid. I just felt it was time, and I respect that.
Good
I respect
point.
It.
Well, if Papa Roach stops wearing wallet chains, it's over.
Mean, that's a turning point for
ridiculous.
So many of us.
I'll never want to be alive again.
So true.
I'll want to cut my life into pieces.
Is that your last resort?
It's close. Yeah.
Okay. I hate you both.
As well you should. Well, Ariana Grande has posted on her social media for the first time since news broke that she and her fiancé Pete Davidson have ended their engagement and they're going their separate ways. She posted a script page from the upcoming special A Very Wicked Halloween, celebrating 15 years on Broadway. So a lot of people were wondering, since she's been canceling a lot of appearances, if she would still be doing this. It indeed looks like she will, because it's taping today. And she tweeted, "Honored to be included in this celebration of 15 years of my favorite musical of all time. Wouldn't miss it for the whole universe. Hashtag Wicked 15. That's special.
Hashtag suck it, Pete.
Suck it, Pete. I'm going to this. The special will air on October 29th on NBC. And in case you missed it, sources close to the singer say that she returned the $100,000 diamond ring that Pete Davidson gave her. But the status of Piggy Smalls,
it's the only thing people care about.
As well they should.
What's happening to the pig?
The teacup pig will be staying with Ariana Grande.
Doesn't sound happy.
I feel like the pig should be happier with that news.
No.
Who's with me, right?
Pigs are delightful.
Imagine if that's the noise a teacup pig made. That would be terrifying.
That would be awesome.
All right.
I've met some kids who sound like that.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Bean, do you want to do your pig chunk that we got to listen to during the break?
No, I don't, but I'm still steamed about it.
Good God, you were angry
I'm
about...
down to out it. Basically, yes. Bean was angry that that pig was described as the size of a mini horse because he thinks that describing an animal that is clearly more commercial than a mini horse, it's a bad comparison. They should have just said the pig is the size of a large pig.
Right. Right. People don't even know the size of a mini horse.
Well, this
why
was
would
that,
they do that? He's all upset.
That's that pig that got loose in California that you saw the viral video of the officer yes. luring him with Doritos. And every article described the pig as being the size of a different animal when a pig is already an animal that people know about.
But it
just
I think
seemed if, like weird journalism to me.
Bean, you've owned pigs, so you know yes. how big they can get. But I think when people think of a pig, they think of a cute little pink pig mm-hmm. that isn't the size of a wild boar, which are huge and all hairy and gross. They think of a little pink pig. So I think it was
a fair comparison.
Accurate, yeah.
But don't people live in the world where there's lots of stories about farms and there's lots of...
Oh.
But I mean, there are.
I spend my entire day looking at stories about farms.
I'm just saying, look, no, here's what I'm saying. A pig, you guys, uh-huh. there are millions of pigs right. in the United States. Yeah. Millions of pigs. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about some obscure animal that's living in a jungle in New Guinea that no one has ever photographed before. Pigs and their photos right. are pretty widely available.
And this is what you're picking.
Are there different
to make your stand
sizes
on?
Of pigs, Bean?
Yeah, one of them's the size of a mini horse.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, now that makes sense.
Yes, they are not just cut and dry. This is the size of a pig.
Well, I don't know why you have to cut and dry them. I'd prefer they stay alive. But my point is, the pig is the size of a pig. You don't need to compare it to a mini horse. That's all I'm saying. Completely irrelevant to Piggy Smalls, by the way, who, as you mentioned, is a teacup pig.
Right. Which so is the size of a pigeon?
The Bierstein? Is that why they call it teacup?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you for letting me get that off my chest.
No worries.
Happy to help.
Whew. Some birthdays for you. Happy birthday to Bob Weir from the Grateful Dead and his pal John Mayer that mm-hmm. tours with them, which is, again, just so weird.
I've seen that show, and it's great.
Yeah. Have you?
Dead and Co.
Mm-hmm.
Dead and Co. Mm-hmm. I think my friend Jackie used to do some shows with them.
Stay
good story.
On target. I'd like to buy the rights to that story if that's cool.
No, someone Google Jackie.
Too much information, this man.
Yeah, Jackie Green. He used to do some shows with them. No. All right. Happy birthday to Flea and Tim Robbins. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie, the SoCal helpful Honda dealer. Tomorrow morning, an all new Kevin and Bean show. Bean makes his guest. We've got live music. From Mumford & Sons.
How about
yes.
that?
How about
mm-hmm.
that? And we've got your tickets to see the Gorillaz at the HD Radio Soundspace and at Demon Days as well tomorrow morning.